You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
What do you mean, the boss? Telling the truth.
What does that mean?
I got a friend, right? Secret Service. Worked in Nixon detail. You know, this is after they threw him out of office. No. Anyway, you know, Nixon's driving around one day, around San Clemente, just him and a few agents.
Yeah.
And they come across this car accident, right? There's a guy pinned under a car. Anyway, Nixon gets out, runs over to check on the guy, you know, leans down, and Nixon says to him, "You're gonna be okay, son. You're gonna be all right." And right then, the guy dies.
I don't get it.
Think about it from that guy's point of view, okay? The guy who died. He's lying there on the ground, staring up at the sky near death. And then former President Richard Nixon appears before him and tells him he's gonna be fine. Now, did he think that's normal, right? That before they die, everybody sees Nixon?
You're expecting an angel and you get Nixon.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
It's the same situation, just a vastly different point of view.
So there's two ways to look at something.
Yeah,
that's right. The point of the story?
Yeah,
just say that.
What?
But you just lead me on this epic fucking journey with the story, and 10 minutes later, the point is that there's two ways to look at something. You could just say that.
You like that story?
That would be awful.
Wouldn't it, right?
Yeah.
Good stuff, right?
There's a guy I don't know wearing a Chris Crespo shirt.
Chris Crespo radio show. Everybody likes it. Listen to his shit.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
First, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
Well, we might as well have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Here we go. Welcome to episode 214 of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going? You're listening to Florida's number one movie podcast. If you can think of a better movie podcast from Florida, well then go fuck yourself. That is correct. Here is your threat level update for the week. The current threat level is corn silk. Your facts are inconvenient. Drew Secogran, how you doing, Drew? The co-host.
That sounds like something that Kellyanne Conway would say.
Yes, inconvenient facts.
Your facts are inconvenient, so I don't care about them.
They don't jive with the narrative.
Exactly.
This is our narrative.
No,
you fuck with it.
Fuck your narrative.
Nope. Fuck your narrative.
I'd rather not.
This is the narrative. What's your narrative? What's your narrative for today?
Sitting here, doing this.
Sitting here doing this. The whole thing? Mm-hmm. The whole day?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's all I got going on.
That's all you got?
That's it.
Also, if this is your first time listening to Cinema Crespediso, we appreciate it. You guys are the best. If you've been listening for a while, you can do us a favor. We have a survey on SurveyMonkey. I don't know how you're going to find it. Go to Twitter, at Crespediso. It's pinned to our profile page. You don't even have to have a Twitter profile to see it. Just go to at Crespediso. Right there at the top of the profile, there's a link to a survey. Click on that. It's 9 questions. It's just for like content purposes. Let us know how we're doing, what we can do to give you a better show, etc., etc. And it's totally anonymous. Feel free to be truthful. We appreciate it. We have a guest, returning guest. We love this guy.
We do.
How many times has it been on? Is this what, 5? Maybe 6? 5 times, I think?
I mean, you got the list. Check it out, dude. I mean, you always...
I got the list. So, 1, 2... This is his 4th time on the show. One of the few who want to be... Like, on SNL, certain people, like John Goodman, are on. Like, the most, right? Steve Martin, right? Mm-hmm. 10, 11 times. Alec Baldwin, right? We have a guest like that tonight. It's all like, it's like first it's like Drewster. No, what is it? It's like featuring Drewster Cogburn, because Don Pardo's here.
Yeah,
musical guest. Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
That sounds like an awful musical guest. If you ever book them, I'll smack you.
And your guest, no. Simon Time.
You mean host? Host?
Well, he's our guest. I'm the host.
You are the host.
Simon Time, sir.
It was adjusted for fact.
Yeah. I tried to make it work for what's going on.
You're factor inconvenient, Chris.
Exactly. Well, those are inconvenient facts, Simon. I was trying to adjust it. Drew is right. I should have, and your host. And your host.
Gotta make sure it fits the narrative, bro.
Simon Time.
I've been introduced a lot of ways in my time, and that's probably up there in the top.
Fake Don Pardo. If you can get a fake Don Pardo, hey, you know, it's either that or not Rod Roddy.
Yeah.
Or a fake Michael Buffer.
Fake Michael Buffer.
Maybe you could get a...
Be careful with the fake Michael Buffer. You can find yourself in real court.
Maybe you can find yourself...
Oh, yeah.
He will sue the fuck out of
you. You might be able to get the real Joey Fatone.
We could get the real Joey Fatone. Yeah, I guess it's a recording of his voice they use for Family Feud, because it's still him. This is Joey Fatone.
Yep.
He's the voice of Family Feud that does the intro in the beginning.
Yeah.
What?
But I think they just recorded it.
He still lives in Orlando.
What? Because he still lives in Orlando, right? And the show used to be shot in Orlando. Steve Harvey's first season, it was still in Orlando, and then he moved it to Atlanta. But there are four or five seasons deep. It's still Joey Fatone. Like, this is Family Feud.
I'm
Joey Fatone. I think it's a recording. Or does he just do it over the phone?
Probably.
Does he record it from home? He says the same thing. It's not like he has to change.
It has to be a recording.
It's a recording. Does he get paid for it each time? What a gig.
He should get paid for it each time.
They fly him in and he says that line and they're like, all right, beat it.
get back to it. It is only a 45-minute flight from Orlando to Atlanta. He can do it.
Scram.
What a gig.
You're not doing anything better with your time except running your restaurant out of the Florida Mall kiosk. Yep.
I want to get one of them hot dogs, man. One of them fat ones. It's like a foot long kielbasa, pretty much. They do record like multiple episodes in one day. Maybe they fly Fatone out there
once a week.
Once every 2 weeks. Price is Right, Drew Carey said. They record a month's worth of shows over a course of like 3 or 4 days or something. Yeah. They crush them.
Years ago, my buddy Gene and I, when we were at the Simon and Gene trivia show, got invited to the Hard Rock Hotel for Joey Fatone's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And a buddy of ours who went to high school with Joey invited us. We showed up. We're complete strangers.
Yeah.
He was a super cool guy. He played this game called Chinese Numbers, like some party gag game. And then fast forward to like last year, around September, we are at Oh Shucks doing karaoke.
Yeah.
Joey Fatone walks in and goes, Simon!
What?
Bro, legit, the videos are on YouTube. The craziest thing ever. Comes over, like, buys us a round of shots.
Wow.
The buddies, I've never felt like more of a big shot in my life.
That's
right?
Awesome.
And it's Joey Fatone. It's not even like a real celebrity. It's Joey Fatone.
Joey Fatone! Are you kidding me? I saw Joey Fatone on Broadway, man. Not a real celebrity. I saw him on Broadway. He was leading... The Little Shop of Horrors, and I saw the last week of the run of Little Shop of Horrors on Broadway.
What?
And he was the lead. He was the singer.
He was
and
Seymour.
Yeah. No, not Seymour. Not the Seymour's. Yeah, Phoebe Seymour. Yeah. He was Seymour.
What?
Yeah, dude, it was him. And you know, in the play version, the Plant Wins.
Yeah, man.
The Plant Wins, man. It ends with like everyone's heads are inside plant heads, and they're like singing. And then what's the name of the plant?
Audrey too.
Audrey too. He's singing, and it's like a big ass plant on stage. Or the puppetry, the animatronics were incredible.
Little Shop of Horrors.
And I was like, "That Joey Fatone, this guy is actually pretty good." It was one of those things where we went to the tickets thing where it's like 50% off whatever tickets are low for that day that they have extra tickets for. They sell them for 50% off, and it was like, "Well, this was Little Shop of Horrors is available with Joey Fatone." All right, let's see what this. Let's see what this shit show's all about. And it was great.
That's amazing.
It was great.
I went.
So what's amazing is that fucking he was on Broadway. You're like, this guy's nobody. He was on Broadway, and he's like Simon.
He's somebody.
Bro, it was crazy.
That's really
like,
cool.
My friends went up and sang Bye 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 and sang in front of him. And then the videos on YouTube, he's like clapping along and like thumbs up.
Because he's a good sport about all that stuff.
It made all of their days. Dude. That's like the highlight of my buddy's life. So they got to sing and sing for him.
He definitely has, he can definitely go with a joke and like hang out with people. But it does go up to a line.
Yeah, I'm sure. At a certain point in time, he's like, all right, we need to not do this anymore.
Well, Eric Andre is good at finding that line.
Oh, yeah, he is.
The Eric Andre Show, you ever see that on Cartoon Network? Mm. On Adult Swim, his like fake
talk show. Did he get butt naked? Like, was that one of the episodes where Eric Andre got butt naked?
in front of Joey Fatone.
He does that when he can't break somebody.
No, with Joey Fatone, he as soon as he started interviewing him, someone came out with a huge tray of all different types of food and stuff and brought it out. And Eric Andre just started digging. He's like, go ahead, eat, eat. So Joey Fatone goes, the joke is new. He's fat. He's the fat one. Joey Fatone's like, game. He just grabbed a big thing of bread. He broke into it. He started eating while answering questions. And then someone, a lady came out, like some Asian lady came out and started like giving him a manicure or a pedicure to start like right there. And he was like, he just started trying to go with it all. He's trying to be cool. He's being cool. And then I think Eric Andre asked like some like fucked up question and he was like, wait, what, man? And then at that point, someone on a motorbike came like crashing into the set and like ran through the desk and then just like ended the interview. Like almost killing Eric Andre. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. What?
That's so, Eric Andre show for
you. Fatone was with it for the most part. But right at the end, he was like, well, it looked like he was about to turn. And then someone came in on a dirt bike. And
I would have liked to see Joey get pissed off. And
he was getting there. Look up Eric Andre, Joey Fatone online. It's out there. It's only like, that's probably the whole thing. It's like a minute and a half.
It's like all short 4 minutes.
Yeah. Zach Galifianakis and Between Two Ferns. Those interviews are so uncomfortable.
Some of them are, yeah.
Those are the best interviews. They're so funny. But a lot of them are also, like the Obama one, a lot of that's pre-written too.
And, yeah.
And the Brad Pitt stuff. But anyway. Guys, we have to do the show. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to do the, it used to be the Netflix pick of the week, but now it's the streaming pick of the week because we open up to all sorts of things. So we have a brand new, a brand new theme song. Yeah, Drew. I see that face.
You finally did something?
Check this out.
About that shit show.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso streaming.
That's right, the Cinema Crespediso streaming pick of the week. There's movies on Amazon Prime. Who? What are you laughing at, Drew?
I like it. It's good.
Is that brand new?
That's brand new. That's the first time we're playing it on the show, Simon. You got to hear a brand new bit there.
New randomizer, too.
That is new for this year. It's the 9000.1.
That's beautiful.
The 9000.1. We finally upgraded because we expanded. We expanded from just Netflix to now it's Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, Crackle, their movies on so many different streaming platforms. Why focus on just one? It's been opened up, so here we go. Simon, if you will, please let everyone know what is this week's streaming pick of the week.
Of the four that I've picked, this is probably my favorite one.
Ooh.
My brother loves this genre, and this is one of his favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
On Hulu Plus, the movie is Day of the Dead.
Whoa, nice Day of the Dead. It says on their Hulu Plus, it may have switched since then. That's a thing with the internet, you never know.
The world at our fingertips.
Drew is double checking just to be sure, but Day of the Dead, I can recommend that all day long for very specific reasons. When it comes to zombie movies, they make so many of them and they're so cheap that they're like, it's easy to crank one out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why so many of them have been made over time. You know what I mean? What are some of your favorite ones?
I'm a huge scaredy cat, legit. And zombies are the thing I fear most in this world.
Right.
I think we talked about
it last
time. Sorry, Chris.
What's it saying?
It's not streaming anywhere.
It's not streaming anywhere? What was that? Day of the Dead?
Mm-hmm.
On Hulu Plus? Oh, that can't be right. Oh,
my brother loves Bub, the zombie.
Bub is the best. Yeah. That's what I was saying. Bub is the best. Dr. Frankenstein. The Experiments.
Yep.
That whole beginning shot in Sarasota. Drew's downtown. Drew's from Sarasota. What does that say?
This one is Creed.
Creed is for sure on Amazon Prime. Yes. I saw it
yesterday.
Just go ahead and look up again. See if canistream.it is not fucking us up. Because Creed is for sure on there. I'm going to also double check the guys, the thing is I don't have it.
But of the few zombie movies I've been able to...
Let's talk about Day of the Dead real quick.
To muster.
Keep talking about
to watch.
Yeah.
Night of the Living Dead, the original, is probably the scariest. Because the concept of being in a house... In a little shed in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
And zombies coming at you from all sides.
Like, where do you go?
Terrifying.
You know, yeah, you're bottled in.
I had a room in the basement of the house.
Can I assume that it says it's only on YouTube, but I know for a fact it's on Amazon.
Yeah, okay. So that website's fucking us up. We're not going to worry about that right now. We'll find a different solution for next week. So let's just go ahead and pretend that both of these movies are the picks of the week. So first off, Day of the Dead does fit into that sort of thing where it's like you're in a bunker. right? Yeah. It's the extrapolation of what you're saying. You're not just like in a house and around, it's like in a field, but it's like you're in a bunker underground. The whole world has been fucking zombified, right? Mm-hmm. And it's shot in Sarasota, at least the beginning.
Yeah,
in Sarasota, it is. Which is cool, you know, Florida stuff. Bub is fucking.
And it's amazing. And it contains one of a horror movie's most iconic scenes where the guy's laying down and all the zombies are tearing up his insides and pulling the guts out. That's from that movie.
And the end of that scene when they pull his head from his body as he's screaming, and then you see the vocal cords like stretching and his scream increases in pitch.
Yep.
As it's like,
and then the monk.
It's fucking crazy.
The monk zombie.
Yes,
the orange jumpsuit.
All the different zombie types. It's when they start having like more personalities and stuff with the zombies and things. Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird, fucking, crazy movie,
man.
It is. It's overacted as hell.
Oh
Like they are all. Everyone in that movie is going for it.
they're all high.
Yes, they are. They are like cocaine crazy in that movie. But they're like also like they're earnest, they're into it, and they're really giving it their all. And it's George Romero, man. Creed.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh,
it's good.
I love the Rocky movies so much that I stopped right before Rocky Balboa came out.
Man, I love Rocky Balboa.
Let's say,
so
you should
good.
Watch both of them. You should watch Rocky Balboa and you should watch Creed because they're both really good.
It's for the same reason why I've never seen Casino. I love Goodfellas so much. I didn't see Goodfellas for the first time till like 2012.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My buddy Frankie got me a ticket to the Enzion.
Yeah.
We rolled up in a limo. We did the whole thing dressed to the nines.
That's awesome.
Tuxedos. Came in and I loved it. The experience was great. And I'm so scared.
That's awesome.
The Casino and Goodfellas are so close together that it'll tarnish.
They do. A lot of people do compare the two because they're both Scorsese movies with De Niro and the whole like organization and all that stuff. Take a drink here. I got something in my throat now.
I'm just so afraid that if I watch Casino, it'll either make me like Goodfellas less, or I won't be able to appreciate Casino.
You got to try to think about them as differently as possible. Casino is a great movie in its own right, for sure. It's not a Goodfellas, but no other movie is a Goodfellas. Yeah. No, but Casino is still fucking.
It's Casino.
It's a pretty goddamn great movie. I definitely recommend it. Yeah, of course it is. It gets intense at times. It's also kind of long too. It's like 3 hours longer than Goodfellas. And all. It's an epic movie, but it's quite good. Balboa and Creed are like, they do Rocky right. I think they're better. Those movies, I think, are better movie-wise, story-wise, etc., etc.
Than the later Rockies, definitely.
Yeah, they're better technically on almost every level than Rocky 3, 4, and 5, you know?
Yes.
Like, well, I'm the claim, dude.
I agree. Dude,
yeah, but Rocky...
Creed is almost as good as...
The original. Creed is so good.
I mean, it is a close number two.
All
of them.
It does traffic a lot in
those themes.
In Rocky iconography and themes. So it is kind of like Pavlovian in a way. It knows how to use the Rocky theme very sparingly, but properly. It comes up with its own theme, but it fits into the whole Rocky mythos. I would rank them like... I think I've said this on a show before. I rank them like Rocky and then Creed... And then Rocky Balboa. Like, those three movies I could, like, just do with those. And then I would go Rocky 2, 3, 4, 5 in that order.
So really? You would put 4 so far down there?
Yeah, because it's 4 is fun. It was my favorite movie, my favorite Rocky movie when I was 8, you know? But story-wise, it's hokey. You know, Rocky defeats the Cold War. Good for him. Via boxing.
Exactly. I mean, you've got Homeboy in his super commie place. You know, running on the treadmill. He's got all the technology.
And then is walking around with
logs out in the fucking winter, you know, training with tires and horses
That's some patriotic bullshit. And it is really, like, you have the opening where Apollo Creed is killed. Which, without that, you don't have Creed.
Yeah.
So, I'm fine with that. Apollo Creed's killed. Great opening. James Brown. I feel good. Good stuff. But then thank you. Like that? But the rest of the movie is then... It's like three montages.
Yeah.
It is montage heavy.
It's three big montages, barely connected by story. Another, what's her name? Adrian gives another speech to Rocky to rile him up. You know, it worked great in 2. It's fine in 3. By 4, you're like, we get it. You know, in 5, it's like, come on.
So you think it's too much of a regurgitation of the other stuff?
In some other stuff, yeah. In some ways, it was. So... looks wise, it looks fine. It's also a product of, like, it's closer to a Rambo movie than it is a Rocky movie. It's like an action movie. the way it's shot and presented. It's an action movie, not a character study anymore. Three is much more of a like a late exploitation type thing. Like this is what if Rocky was a Shaft movie, you know, sort of type of deal. So it's a little more fun, and but it's also another one that's montage heavy, more cartoony. One and two are very character driven. Mm-hmm. Three and four are very cartoony. Five, they try to go back to character, but it just sucks. Rocky Balboa, like, goes
character.
It's so good, man. You can watch Rocky and then just Rocky Balboa, and it's like, this is
amazing.
And
it's like, oh, so this
feature.
Is the beginning of his career. He did some stuff in the middle nobody cares about, and here's the end of his career.
I mean, people care about it, which is why he had a career, but yeah, here's the beginning, yeah. Here's the end. These are the parts that matter. And then also what they did in Rocky Balboa, if you didn't know, the movie starts with Adrian's dead. You know, they took Adrian away. And so now Rocky is in like a really broken down place, which is why it's like, oh, this is so emotional. And then in Creed, they give Rocky cancer. Yes, they give Rocky cancer. He's not even the main character. They give him cancer. Young Hollywood Creed over here, he's doing his own thing. He's already going through his own fucking shit. And then on top of that, you get surrogate father Rocky in there. Things are going great. Rocky's got cancer.
Does Rocky...
No,
it's been long enough. It's already been, the movie's been out for a while now. Yeah, so exactly, fuck spoilers. Yeah. No, he does
48 hour rule on spoilers.
Yeah. we go more than 48. Oh, yeah. We're cooler than that.
You're right. I'm talking about TV shows because I got into a huge argument about it. Family Guy a couple years ago did a deal where they did something with the dog.
Yeah, that was so stupid.
As the credits were rolling, dude, this idiot on my Facebook page was posting... blah blah blah. It's been long enough.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Brian. Yeah. And I lost.
Especially
my
since
shit.
They brought the character back anyway after a couple of
weeks.
But
I was so mad. It's like, bro, some of the stay off social media. Don't be a dick.
It's crazy. It's annoying. It's I don't know. It's hard. It's a wild west out there when it comes to like information and stuff
so
like that.
Mad.
But no. In the end, Rocky lives. I fight through. And the Creed's like, I fight, you fight. So we'll fight together. But it's good, man. It's done so well. And the guy who directed Creed is going on to do the Black Panther movie. He's directing that right now with the guy who played Creed. He's in a role, not said, you don't know which role yet, but he's in Black Panther. The guy playing Black Panther is the guy who was James Brown and Jackie Robinson in the last couple of years. Which is, it's going to be a crazy cast. Great director already. It's going to be a good movie. So Creed, totally worth it. Good stuff.
I have to check it out now.
Day of the Dead. Great. Bump. Good stuff. I love it. Here we go. Let's get into the box office recap for the week. That means we're going to be talking about some of them numbers. All right, here we go. Drew, take it away.
Number five this week.
Number five.
Hidden Figures had a gross of $8 million, total of $131.5 million.
Hidden Figures, I reviewed that, I think, a week or two ago.
Something like that.
Check it out, guys. Check out my review of Hidden Figures from recently.
Number four this week.
Number four.
Split had a weekend gross of $9.3 million, total of $112 million.
Split some good stuff.
I heard that's nuts.
Yeah, we reviewed
it's
it.
Not bad.
We reviewed it a couple weeks ago, and I know we'll be talking about it in the second half during the Vox Populi, so we'll just wait till the second half to talk about Split then.
Number three.
It's all about time management. Number three. Number four. Here we go.
John Wick, Chapter 2.
John Wick, here we go.
Weekend gross of $30 million, same as total.
At number three.
Number three.
Well, you know what? I saw that coming, actually. I know what number one is. I saw that coming. Right, number one.
I know
is,
what number one is.
Right, number one is what we all knew what it was going to be.
No.
Oh, is it the other way?
Yeah.
Is it created for the kids?
Uh-huh.
We knew it wasn't going to be John Wick, though.
No. I knew that for a fact.
John
Wick. Even though it should have been.
John Wick.
Damn it.
Colon. Chapter 2. Have you seen John Wick the first one?
No, I have not.
You have a hell of a double feature ahead of you.
Yeah. You have a John
it's
Wick.
Good?
It's good. It is quite possibly some of the best action out there today.
Dude, John Wick, the John Wick movies are the best action movies in the last... Action movies, like straight up?
Straight up action? Yeah, go John Wick. Yeah.
I want to say...
Probably
like,
5 years.
Not coincidentally, the best American action movies since The Matrix?
Yeah.
What?
Probably.
Not a coincidence
and not,
either.
No, exactly. Not a coincidence because it's the same people.
It's the same choreography teams, the same stunt crew, you know, Keanu Reeves and all those people. No one Keanu Reeves said The Matrix. He was already a millionaire by that point. He was already rich. And so he had already, when he did The Matrix, a crew of people that he worked with, some people... the same people he's been working with since then. Those are people that have made the John Wick movies with him. When he did The Matrix, he took his like paycheck on that, million, 2 million, whatever it was, and he divvied it up. He didn't take any of that money. He gave it to all his stunt people, his crew.
Wow.
And that's why, that's how you get that kind of loyalty, man. So now they like follow him everywhere, do whatever he says, et cetera, et cetera.
And now they're making these awesome action movies where
yeah,
like,
dude.
It's a departure from like the old school 80s action movies
where like everything's way over the top and, you know, explosions everywhere and, you know, people getting hit by bullets that aren't even being fired. and now it's John Wick where like every fucking bullet counts. Like you see him pull the trigger twice and two people die. You know, like he does the classic double tap. It's very... The action is so real.
He's such a badass assassin. He makes sure it's like people are dead. Like,
yeah, no, every,
shot
seriously,
in the face and
like,
the head.
Exactly.
You're like, John, he's dead. He's like, no, he's
exactly.
dead.
Exactly. There's one scene in John Wick 2 where like he's messing with somebody. Like he flips him over, shoots him in the leg a couple times, even elbows him. And then as he's walking away, he hears him move and he just, dead.
Yeah, just go, he moved. He couldn't afford to let him live. John Wick is the most badass assassin ever.
Exactly, yeah. And then the first one, it's because they killed his puppy, so he has to kill everybody. He kills
but not just his puppy. His puppy, his wife had died. His wife, who got him out of the reason he got out of the business, out of the life, was for his wife. His wife died. A dying gift was his puppy.
They killed his puppy.
Some douchebag stole his car, killed his puppy.
So
in a B&E, in a breaking and entering. So he went to get revenge.
And really? That's the plot?
Yes, and he kills 77 people doing it.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, he kills 77 people in the process of avenging the theft of his car
and the death of his puppy.
And the murder of his puppy. Because it linked him to his wife.
Yep. Unfortunately, I've never been able to get behind the Matrix movies. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I have no justifiable reasoning. I just can't.
Yeah, sure.
Fine.
And then I saw Constantine.
Not for everyone, yeah.
Okay.
And it really put me off for Keanu Reeves.
Well, that was a bit of a bummer of a movie.
It was.
A real lost opportunity as
well. Oh, definitely. That could have been a lot more fun. That could have been a lot darker.
I'm just really easily disillusioned. That's why. Sure. That's part of my man crush with this show. I listen to it, and you guys, I take your word as gospel. Hell, I watched the Embers movie based on you talking about
intense
it,
stuff, right? So, interesting movie.
Yeah. I all running around with trivia and wrestling, I don't have time to sit down, so I make it a point to listen to this and the stuff that you guys put over.
Sure, sure. Well, man, we can recommend John Wick because if you like good action, it's shot so well.
Real.
It's so well, so choreographed so well. He trained super hard for this stuff. You can find training videos of Keanu Reeves, like learning all the different moves, quick draws, proper tactical.
Yeah, exactly. Learning how to actually fire a gun like a human being as opposed to some... You know, action star.
Yeah,
has no idea what they're doing.
So first, there's like videos of him. Funnily enough, it's always a hard word for me to say. First, they put out a video of him like a year and a half ago, of him like in some shooting range, like just a hat, t-shirt. He's working with some people, and he's got a semi-automatic. Then he's like firing off at a bunch of targets and like really fast reloading, plop plop, hitting things. Then he slings around his shoulder, like runs up, pulls out a handgun real fast, plop plop plop. He's shooting. He's like, and they're like, look at the beast, like Keanu Reeves. Like, look at this guy, right? And then 6 months later, they put out another series of videos. So this is him like learning how to reload super fast and do all this shit. And it's like 2 minutes of him like fucking up. It's like, God damn it. It's like, God damn it. God damn it. It's like, no, try this. Like, God damn it. It's just him not getting anything. And then at the end, he's like, he finally gets one. He's like, okay, you know, like, I think I can do this. The show, you know, he's doing a shit ton of work because in the movie, especially with John Wick Chapter 2 and all the action scenes, it's all the camera is back. It's everything is shot in wide frame. When he shoots people, they're in the same frame. You know, it doesn't like shot of him pulling the trigger, bam, cut to another person.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
he gets shot.
He shoots, and the guy is right there in front of him, flying
it's
back
like,
with a squib.
Yeah, it's like, oh, and he goes flying down. You know, there's a lot of in camera choreography. So the camera's back. You see everything. It's nice and still, as opposed to the shaky cameras, because they have like 10 people running around filming a scene, and then they just edit it all together later because they don't know what they're doing. When they make these movies, there's like 2 or 3 cameras going tops.
Damn.
Because like we know what we want to see. We want to show Keanu Reeves
being a bad motherfucker,
and in parentheses, and his stuntmen
being
a bad motherfucker, and they do such a good job, Simon. They're so good.
I'm gonna have to watch it.
Have you seen the Raid movies? That's why I say the John Wick movies are the best action movies now outside of Southeast Asia.
Yeah,
you know, because the Raid movies, they were made in Indonesia, I think. There's 2 of them, the Raid and the Raid 2. The action in those movies are incredible. So good that they're making an American version.
Oh, wow.
Of the Raid. I would say like those movies and the John Wick movies are like the best action movies that come out in the last decade.
And it's because the violence is so real. You know,
so intense, and you can see what's going on. That's why it feels real, because it's like you see the hits, you see the impact, They don't shy away from anything. It's not a bunch of bullshit, you know. It's good.
And the simplicity of the plot doesn't take away from it. It just seems so overreaction. It just kills 77 people.
That's actually what makes it so cool.
Because they because the way they set it up, it's the emotional hook of the movie. Yeah. It's not just that they kill his puppy. This is the first one. Not just that they kill his puppy. But the puppy is from his dead wife. The woman who made him stop being a killing machine. The woman who made him...
A person instead of the boogeyman.
A person,
literally.
Yeah, instead of the Baba Yaga.
They call him the boogeyman.
They call him the Baba Yaga, which is the boogeyman. Yeah. He's John Wick is mythical in these movies, right? He's a legend. And but this woman got him to want to, like, take all his weapons and put them in a case and take them to his basement and dig them, like, cover them in cement and they are gone forever, you know? And then she's dead from a disease, whatever, cancer. And he's like, here's a puppy, so you're not alone. And he's like, oh, he holds the puppy. He's like, I'm so grizzled, but look at this puppy. This puppy's going to save me. And then there's some douchebag.
And the puppy does save him.
A puppy does save him, and then some douchebag comes around and just kills the puppy because he's a douchebag. And he's like, I'm good.
I'm going to kill all these people. Does that guy eat it the worst? Please tell me he...
No, it's more about him being in constant fear.
him being in constant fear and just...
He really doesn't get it the worst, but he does get it.
And finding out... Because
everyone
now
gets
in
it. That's the thing with John Wick. Everyone gets it.
Because now in this movie, you find out... In the first one, you find out just how badass he is. Like, you know, people, you know, they talk him up. You know, he's a force of will.
He gets talked up a lot.
But you don't see it until you sit and you're like, holy shit, he is a force of will.
Yeah. When he has a mission and he's going to do it, like, oh, he fucking does it.
He's going to fucking do it.
And don't stay in his way. Because then you'll be dead.
You're dead.
You don't come at him with nothing. Not even a pencil.
No.
Oh. If he has a pencil, you're dead.
No. If he has a pen, I'm more afraid of John Wick with a pencil than a gun.
This guy will fuck you up with a pencil.
Oh, my God.
He will fuck you up with a pencil.
That's some serious putting over, man.
John Wick Chapter 2, the plot is a little more complicated, but it's also because it is a direct... It's called Chapter 2.
It's a direct sequel. Literally, like... It
picks up right where the first one leaves off, and it's all about the consequences and the fallout of all the actions from the first one. And it's a more of a complicated story, but it also because it opens up, they write a whole world. It's a whole weird underground world of assassins, and the second movie opens up that world in such a cool, fun way. Right?
Agreed. Yeah.
It's good, man.
I really enjoyed it.
It was
a lot of fun.
From the opening scene, like the opening scene had a couple moments, a few shots where it's a car chase, it's John Wick in a car, but see him. You only see like bits of the car chase on a motorcycle, and there are certain parts of that scene where it's like, this is fucking awesome. I was like, immediately, I was I'm so happy right now.
I really enjoyed the opening scene because it was almost like a farce of
the original
John Wick.
Because it's so over the top.
It's so funny.
It's like the whole thing where you're introducing the main character, but you only see like if he's walking down the hall, you only see like his hands or his feet before you finally get the final reveal. And this one, you only see like part of the car. It's like we're tearing through a city with like awesome aerial drone shots of the chase and everything. And then he's like the guy in the bike slams into the side of that car so
hard.
And it's like, okay, first off, this is how you knew.
Is it gory? Is it gruesome, the movie?
I mean,
there's a lot of blood. The pencil is like,
whoa. Pencil
there's a few moments here and there where you're like, whoa. But overall, it's not like a hard sit. No, it's more fun action than it is. In the very beginning of the movie, before the car and the bike, before they debut, at the very opening shot of a city, it's like the side of a building for almost seemingly no reason. There's a projection of a black and white movie on the side of the building, and it's a Buster Keaton movie. Buster Keaton, who did The General and all these movies, silent movies from the 19-teens and 20s and 30s. He, like Chaplin, famous for a physical comedy. One of the most popular people at the time, Buster Keaton. He was known for doing crazy stunts, a lot of insane physical stunts that have people like, what is this guy doing? He's putting his life on the line all the time. And then that's immediately followed by this car chase. And then the guy, bam, slam into the side of the car. I was like, whoa, Buster Keaton 2017. I would love to take time travel, take this movie back in time and show the Buster Keaton. And be like, look at what people are doing now, bro. He'll be like, what? These people are insane. He was doing train stunts in the 1920s. And YouTube Buster Keaton stunts and you'll see some crazy shit. You know, there's the iconic shot in black and white of a guy hanging off a clock with the arms of the clock are like bending outwards. He's hanging over a city and the traffic is below. That's Buster Keaton.
Holy cow.
And that's why this movie is like an homage to that kind of like practical effects, like stunt work, like actual shit happening in camera. Also, the movie looks gorgeous. You notice that?
Yeah, beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful.
Like, the first movie was, like, good-looking.
Yeah.
Had some good shots.
Yeah.
But this movie is fucking gorgeous.
They upgraded their cameras.
They upgraded everything. They upgraded the style. There's a lot of shots of people, like, in almost silhouette in front of, like, LED walls. LED
and you
screens
know,
and different color patterns and shit.
I forgot how fucking prim and proper everybody was in this movie.
Everyone like, everyone's buttoned up. Everyone's
like,
buttoned up.
Yeah. Like, they just had that cadence about them of, you know, an air of sophistication.
Common, he's all buttoned up and he's super, like, he's so stoic the whole time. Even when he's pissed off, he just, the fire's in his eyes, but he's like, I'll be seeing you, John. You're like, oh, Common's pissed. I don't want to fuck with him. It's great, man. It's so good. I love the John Wick movies, for sure. People.
Go see it.
Go see Chapter 2. You see it. John Wick, I think it's on HBO, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's out there.
I mean, it's definitely out for rent on DVD.
It's definitely out there. It's available to see. It's totally worth watching. And then see the second one.
Yeah,
the
man,
second
got one, me like, excited.
Yeah, second one wraps everything up. It's great. So what's the number two movie?
50 Shades Darker.
Oh, shit. 50 Shades Darker.
It made $46 million. Sims total.
$46 million, not too bad. On a budget of what, 80,
90, 55?
55, it's a low budget.
Will you be reviewing that?
No. We watched the first one, which
first
was god awful.
Because it was a bet. It was like a bet.
And
a losing bet.
Super unsexy, by
it's
the way.
So unsexy. And you know what the reviews on this one are saying?
Even unsexier?
Even unsexier. And boring. Boring.
I'm not sure if it's possible to be unsexier and more boring than the first one.
Check the Rotten Tomatoes. See what they say about it. Because for movies we don't see, we go to Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and see what the critics are saying. But I saw one review where the second paragraph of the review was like, this movie is, literally, this is what it said. This movie is very, 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 very boring.
Ooh.
I was like, whoa. All right, what does it say?
9%.
Out of how many reviews?
Out of 108. No, 119.
I don't think the first one was that poorly reviewed at all.
No, it wasn't.
Dude, that's terrible.
That is terrible. The first one was like maybe in the 30 or 40%. What is the consensus?
Lacking enough chemistry, heat, or narrative friction to satisfy the limp 50 Shades Darker wants to be kinky, but only serves as its own form of punishment.
They called it limp. You get it? Limp.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Limp.
Yeah.
As in, you know, womp, womp, womp. Walla walla walla. That thing. You get it. Simon gets it.
That's like shit the bed bad.
That is really bad.
Uh-huh.
Can you go ahead and look up the first one, 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah,
now I'm curious to see what the actual numbers are for comparison's sake, because that is really bad. Screenplay written by the author of the book and her husband. Directed by James Foley, who has done good movies going back to the 80s, including Glengarry Glen Ross. Not like the guy doesn't know how to make a movie. I do think I remember the 50 Shades books being less liked as they came out, 1, 2, and 3. Everyone loved the first one.
50 Shades was only 25%.
It's still better than 9%. Yeah. 25% means 1 out of every 4 was good. 9% means 1 out of every 10.
Yeah. The first one was rated a 4.2 out of 10.
Yeah.
Next one is 3.4.
Yeah, so they're getting worse. We'll see what happens with 50 Shades Freed. Because that's
nobody's going to care.
Oh, Lord.
Someone's going to care. 9% of... No one's going to care. All right, here we go. It's number one.
Number one in the movie of the week.
Number one.
The Lego Batman movie.
Lego Batman movie. Oh,
made
shit.
$55.6 million. Same as a total.
All right, let's talk about that Lego Batman movie. You watch the Lego movie?
I cannot freaking wait to see the Batman. I saw the first Lego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's
going to be good.
I came clad in like...
Riddler's,
I'm ready, man.
Really pops up. You see the Riddler staff with the question mark a few times. Yeah, but there's so many villains, though. Like, don't expect anyone to get a lot of screen time outside of Joker.
Fuck, King Kong's in this movie, Chris.
Dude, fucking King Kong. spoiler, King Kong's in this movie. Well, that's just a hint of what happens in the third act. There's so much more.
Dude, this movie is so fucking weird.
Is it good, though?
Yes. If you liked the Lego movie, this movie is very much in that same vein.
Yeah.
Now, what if you don't like the Lego movie, but you're a huge fan of comic book movies and Batman?
Well, then you'll like it because it stays true to some of the... It actually references a lot. This is canon.
It's canon. It references every Batman.
It references all the Batman movies.
All of them. Explicitly.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, there's one sequence where, very beginning, where Ray finds, like, you've gone through this before in 2016 and 2014 and 2008.
It just shows, like, the Lego version of all those Batman posters.
Yeah, it's like the posters or iconic still images from those movies.
I mean...
So it's all the Nolan ones. I swear to God... The shot lasted. It was just the bat nipples. Frames.
And it was just
bat
nipples.
They show Lego bat nipples when it was like 1998.
And it was just nipples.
It was a close up nipples on the bat suit. I almost died laughing. I want to see stills of all of those. Yeah. Every like Batman, Lego Batman recreation of all because it's all of them except for when it goes in that one weird one from the 60s.
And it actually shows. Yeah.
They show a clip of Adam West dancing in the live action.
Yeah.
But I think they reference the 60s Batman the most.
They do. Yeah.
The most of all the Batman references. They keep going back to the 60s.
Even the Joker, they reference his stuff. He's like, what about that thing with the two boats?
Yeah, that thing with the two boats. It's like, what about that thing with the parade?
Yeah.
It's like, shut up, it's better than that. Yeah. It's really funny.
It is.
Did Galifianakis deliver as the Joker?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, because they actually had a character arc, an emotional arc to him and Batman, the relationship that they had there. Batman and his need for a family and all this stuff. They actually had a core story behind it all. And Galifianakis is good enough to like bring that to life in a real way, while still being funny and everything with doing what the Joker needs to do. But the Joker is still very much a part of the plot and it working.
Oh yeah,
and he delivers. Yeah, they all deliver. It's great. It's a great Batman.
It's fantastic.
Michael Cera is awesome as Robin, the Boy Wonder. It's a super funny rendition of Robin.
Yeah, it is.
Like these iterations of all these characters are so much fun. Shout outs to the homie Doug Benson.
I don't know, as Lego Bane.
Lego Bane.
Dude, he was probably.
He had a decent amount of lines.
He had probably the most lines besides.
Of all the sub-villains.
Yeah, all the sub-villains.
Yeah, there was a lot of sub-villains. But they kept cutting back to Doug Benson. I was on a show, Doug Loves Movies. You might still be able to check out the one from December. Because then they go down and they're behind a paywall after a while. And he on his show since Dark Knight Rises came out, he's been doing a Bane voice on his show as a joke every episode. And the Lego Batman people, someone was like, "Well, for Bane, let's get this Doug Benson guy to do his like terrible Bane impression." And they didn't ask him to change it, do it any better, like do it exactly the way you do it. They didn't add an effect, so it was like, "Oh, so Bane is talking like this the whole time." And I couldn't, every time he said something, I couldn't not think of Doug Benson because I listened to the show and I was on it a couple times. So I was like, "Hello, I'm Bane." I was like, "Yes, this is so awesome. It's so hysterical that they went that route." They're thinking on another level.
Yeah, man, that's awesome
when they're making this movie.
And it is very much a Batman movie, but they still, because if you remember from the Lego movie, Batman's one of the master builders.
Yes.
So that comes into it a couple of times.
They brought master building in the whole creating things out of Lego. So he makes the Scuttler.
Yeah.
Which is that canon now? The Scuttler is a badass, like Batmobile.
Yeah.
But it's like a giant animatronic bat thing. It's like a giant
cat thing
with legs that they like shouldn't can walk around and it's huge, but then it can like jump up in the air and it's like turns to wings and it flies away and it turns into a bat wing.
That's nuts.
And it's called the Scuttler.
And
he uses it multiple times, like two or three times, and it's awesome. I was like, I like this better than the Tumbler. Like, this is better than Nolan's Batmobile, I think. Because it's fucking crazy looking. It's insane.
Yeah.
I was most excited for the villains. Like,
So many villains. And then they go over the top on, it's not even just the Batman villains.
Yeah,
Drew hinted at what happens in the third act. King Kong shows up. He's not alone, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. Yeah. Right? What's going on? What's going on in this movie? It's so much fun. It's good.
I can't wait, man.
Yeah, dude, you're going to enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, man. Oh, I don't want to ruin anything.
No, I don't ruin anything.
I'll have to ask off mic. Just you.
I don't want to
ruin it for him either.
I did see on the original motion picture soundtrack, though, Mr. Cheese, Richard Cheese, for sure.
It was
in the movie.
Dude, there's Lego Dick Cheese. Lego Dick Cheese is in the movie.
Because,
I was right.
Because they provide some of the songs.
Yeah.
I love Richard Cheese.
Yeah, well, yeah, so there's Lego Richard Cheese. You get to see Lego version of him and his band.
Yes!
I missed that, but Drew pointed that off.
Lounge
off
Against the Machine.
Yeah, it's in there.
During one of the scenes, there's like a party and there's a band playing, and I saw it's a Lego guy, but he's wearing the orange leopard print suit that Richard Cheese always wears, and I was like, is that? Could it be? I wonder.
Yeah, it's funny. It's good stuff. So, great movie. We enjoyed the hell out of it.
Definitely, yeah.
Who the hell's calling me?
It was awesome.
Oh, fuck, it's calling me.
I highly recommend
it.
Everybody should go see it.
Well, I highly recommend it. Number one movie of the week. How much did it make again?
55.6 million.
Not bad at all, guys.
I mean, seriously, fuck. Chris, at this point in time, I mean, Will Arnett might be the third best Batman that there's ever been.
Barring Christian Bale and Adam West?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Wow, that's crazy.
And then George Clooney, then Val Kilmer, and then Michael Keaton. Is that the order?
No, no, Michael Keaton would be four.
Ooh.
Easy. No.
That was trolling. New movies come out on DVD. Arrival comes out. If you haven't seen Arrival, now's the time. It's out for everyone to see. One of the best movies of the summer, sci-fi movie. Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, the new Ang Lee, comes out. Not well reviewed, but he shot it with some high frame rate cameras, so if you're technically interested in some weird stuff, you might want to see that. Bleed for This, Miles Teller, boxing movie.
Didn't see it.
Get to check that out. And The Edge of 17, coming of age movie with Hailee Steinfeld and Woody Harrelson. A lot of people liked that a lot. It was well reviewed. Small release last fall. So check all these movies out on DVD. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
In theaters this week, we've got The Great Wall.
Yes, finally, Matt Damon in this Chinese blockbuster directed by Zhang Yimou, who's a master filmmaker from over there, made Hero. House of
Flying Daggers.
Flying Daggers, right? Yeah, he did that. And also, did he do Curse? No, he didn't do Curse. Yeah. That was someone else. He also did the. Do you remember the Beijing Opening Olympics, the ceremony? The old people, they were doing the drums. He directed that.
Oh, wow.
He organized all that shit. Yeah, he's a big deal, saying, you know, big deal. So they made The Great Wall, which is a movie that posits that the Great Wall of China was built to keep out not Mongolians and invaders, but to keep out monsters. Big monsters.
Wow. So this guy's big scale, most of his projects?
No, he started with smaller movies, and then he slowly got bigger.
Increasingly bigger, yeah.
And so now this is one of his biggest, for sure, because it's a gigantic digital project. We saw the trailer before Doctor Strange in 3D.
And I was fucking blown away.
It's a crazy...
It's a cool spin. Yeah. I love when they do stuff with like...
Yeah, it's a fun.
Historic stuff like that.
And it has Matt Damon and Willem Dafoe, I think.
Yeah,
those are the white Anglo faces to help sell it around the world. But the whole idea behind The Great Wall is that they're making it to be like... They're like, we want to be Hollywood too. We want to make movies that are mostly Chinese, mostly et cetera, in our language.
But are seen
worldwide, all around the world. And people start anticipating our movies because Hollywood dominates. You know, everyone wants to see Hollywood movies, but no one around the world, they don't want to see Chinese movies. China wants to change that.
But you don't think throwing, Matt Damon's and Willem Dafoe's takes away, like, detracts from the authenticity of the story they're trying to tell?
No, not
does
at all.
It? I mean, historically, there have been white people going to other parts of the world.
Yeah, historically, people have been, you know, mixing, you know, all over. There's have been, and it's not like
there's
a whole bunch of white people.
I mean, just remember, just because we see Matt Damon's face on the poster here in America doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be following his story throughout the entire movie.
That's a thing where you see these days, like with Transformers movies, they put well-known Chinese actors in them. But they have very small roles. But then in China, when they market the movie, the Transformers movie, these people have their own posters. And and the trailers feature all of their scenes very prominently. And then they see the actual movie and they're like, oh, what the fuck? And Chinese audiences are getting pissed about that stuff, by the way. Yeah. They hate that shit. They're catching on fast. This looks like a little different. Matt Damon does seem to have much more of an involvement in it, but that's because he's also a worldwide movie star. Yeah. Chinese audiences want to see Matt Damon just as much as American audiences do. So it's their foray into making a blockbuster, a worldwide hit.
Gotcha.
And I'm all for it. I want to see it. I've been watching Chinese movies since the 90s anyway, when Quentin Tarantino was like, you should watch The Killer. And I was like, I'm going to watch The Killer. All right, John Woo, that sounds good. unfortunately, the early reviews haven't been
too strong.
That's kind of sad. But I still want to see the fuck out of it in 3D for sure. For sure. What else is coming on theaters?
Fist Fight.
Fist Fight movie. I don't know why it's not called Teacher Fight.
I know, right?
Fist Fight could be about anything.
It could be.
Teacher Fight, you know, it's a fight between teachers.
Teachers, yeah.
Played by Ice Cube and Charlie Day. Writes itself, right? Right?
Sure.
Teacher Fight.
Teacher Fight. Anyway,
I don't know.
Anyway, people will be watching this on Redbox soon.
Last but certainly not least, A Cure for Wellness.
I want to see this horror movie, Cure for Wellness, from Gore Verbinski, returning to horror films. He made The Rings. The Ring. Yeah. American remake back in 2003 with Naomi Watts. Naomi Watts. I'm saying everything wrong the first time around. I should just pause and think about what I'm saying first. He's a great director sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes. Yeah, not so much with the Pirates.
The first Pirates is fantastic.
Yeah, but the second one...
The third one was like, no.
The first one was great.
First one's fantastic.
Yeah.
The fourth one, not directed by him, so it's all good. He did do The Lone Ranger, though, which is like... He did The Mexican, which was okay.
I mean, the trailers for A Cure for Wellness just keep getting creepier and fucking creepier.
It's a creepy looking movie, for sure. And I like the Dane DeHaan fellow.
So do I.
I like the lead actor.
He's in that that Valerian movie, too.
Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Yeah.
Which we saw the trailer for that in front of Lego Batman, right?
Yeah.
I was so confused on why they were showing that in front of Lego Batman.
Yeah, it's like, this isn't for the kids at all.
No.
But then there's a bunch of kids sitting right next to me because it was assigned seating, so I just had to sit in my seat. And there's like,
it's the Star Wars!
They were all like, is that Star Wars? And the mom kept saying, no, it's not Star Wars. And they were like, it's Star Wars. And they're like, it's not Star Wars. And they're like, oh, I want to see the new Star Wars. And she was like, it's not Star Wars. And they're looking to the, I can't wait for that Star Wars. I was like, this is fantastic. These kids are so,
stupid.
And then they're going to show up and be like, how come they don't use the Force? Why is it so sexy? It's Luc Besson.
It's Luc Besson, yeah.
He's French.
It's going to be that Cure for Wellness movie that looks really trippy.
Yeah, doesn't
it? I can't put my finger on what it's actually about.
They've been hiding the overall plot in a way, which is good, I think.
Yeah.
It adds mystery to it. And Gore Verbinski has always been good with atmosphere and mood, and that's why The Ring was so good, because it was so tense. You're like, oh my god, what's going on? So that's what I'm hoping for with this, for sure. So I'll definitely be wanting to see A Cure for Wellness and The Great Wall this weekend. Sorry, fist fight. Should have been called teacher fight. Drew.
Chris.
You ready?
I am.
Here we go.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, I mean, it's the number one movie of the week, unfortunately. But still, I highly recommend that everybody go see the Lego Batman movie. Whether you're a kid, an adult, whether you're into comic book movies or not. Whatever it is you're into, this movie's got it for you. I can't recommend it enough. Go see Lego Batman.
Incredible.
That's awesome.
Doctor's out.
Doctor's out. Thank you very much. More love for Lego Batman. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Crespo Disco time. One of the cool things about Lego Batman is how it has a part of the score. The score by, what's his first name? Lorne Balfe. Lorne, musical guest, Lorne Balfe. He does a great Hans Zimmer, like, dum, 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 like very exciting Batman score for us. So the action then becomes like legitimately, fun and exciting. This is good stuff, you know? So I'm playing a track off of that, a random one. I didn't write down the title. But first, John Wick Chapter 2 has a good score as well. This song is from a group called La Castlevania. Have you heard of Castlevania?
No.
No, they're good. Someone called it Castlevania, then a song called John Wick Code. Check this song out, guys. And then Lego Batman, and then we'll be back with the second half of the show. You guys ready? We got a lot to do. We got games. Simon, Drew is 4-0 in trivia so far this year. Are you ready?
What's the score against me?
Oh, that's so good!
Can we not talk about that?
All right, here we go, guys. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
like horror movies, so do we.
Flucks his little eyeballs out.
Just scoops it on out.
She was great.
Do you like American Horror Story? So do we.
There were some butts.
Yep.
Killings.
Yep.
Butt.
Yep.
Killings.
Butt.
Yep.
Killings.
If it's over 90% cheek, that's your butt. You see the essence of the butt.
Are you into vampires dancing in mesh tank tops? Us too.
I was mesmerized by the mesh tank top and leather pants.
Are you into high-minded film critique and discussion? Because we've got that.
And it is beautifully filmed. Like, it really... Just the stark contrast of colors, like you said.
Not your thing? How about a dick joke?
His dick, dude. He put his dick in a fucking pig. Come on.
We've also got one dude to give dude perspective.
Zombie apocalypse is no time to have your head in the pussy clouds, Mickey. This is survival.
Thank you.
So head over to iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you listen, and subscribe to The Bloodlust, your go-to podcast for classy broads and a token dude talking horror.
Hey, buddy, how are you? Have you been looking for an oddly specific type of weekly, one-hour, pre-recorded radio program slash podcast that is hosted by a couple of married idiots discussing the news of the week? You have? Huh. You can enjoy Talking Nonsense with Eric and Stacy, along with our 26 other listeners by subscribing at iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and Alt360Radio.com. We also air at 8 a.m. Central on FM2 Talk Radio on TuneIn. Give it a shot. Or don't. My self-esteem really could use the boost, though. Thanks, buddy.
What's the fuss?
Hey, Archie, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yep. why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Archie, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, thank you so much for your annual donation of $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine, because of your generous contribution, that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of radio.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Woo, here we go, guys. We're back. Second half of episode 214 is here. Hanging out with Chris Cogburn.
Okay. Perfect.
And with Simon, Simon, how you doing, buddy?
Hello, hello.
Awesome. We're having a good time. Drew, people find you online. I skipped some words there, but people know the general gist of what I was saying.
You can find me online at antihero419, all over the interwebs.
All over the interwebs. If you're looking for Super Bowl 51 tickets, email Drew at drewsacockburn and has old tickets for sale at drewneedsmoney.com.uk. Simon. You got anything to promote? Anything to plug?
Simon Time Trivia all over Central Florida.
Yep.
Emerald Emperor. Emerald _ Emperor on the Twits and the Instas.
Hell yeah.
And you can check me out, earthtrivia.com or facebook.com/SimonTimeTrivia.
That's where people can get all the dates and locations for Simon Time Trivia.
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
I'm available for private parties, too.
Nice.
Anniversaries, bar mitzvahs, sleepovers. I don't even have to do trivia. I'm just available to come sleep over.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want.
Eat some pizza and hang out.
That's right, man.
Watch some movies. 5 days a week, how many nights you got booked? Solid. Like, what are you doing for sure?
I have two shows Wednesdays,
okay.
Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Damn, busy guy.
Yeah.
So there's Simon Time Trivia happening somewhere near you at a time near you for sure in the Central Florida area. So check that out. Awesome. Good stuff.
Got my 9-year anniversary coming up next month with Curtis.
Oh, damn.
Really?
Yeah.
And congratulations.
And then tomorrow is my 11-year anniversary of
wrestling.
Underwear play fighting, yeah.
Oh, underwear play fighting. That's one way to put
it. That's a great way of putting it.
That's one way to put it. You doing anything special for the trivia? Any sort of like 9-year anniversary thing, or are you gonna wait for 10 years?
You know, like Curtis likes to plan like a big dinner.
We'll
go to like Morton Steakhouse or something.
Curtis,
there's a bromance there.
Gotta get him a couple steaks there. Yeah,
gets me roses. Yeah,
fuck yeah. Make sure you.
Isn't that cute? Do you get one rose for every year?
And then when you get to 12 years, watch out.
Whoa.
That's when we start sucking dicks. guys, hit me up on Twitter at @IamChrisCrespo. The show's at @CrespoDiso. Cinema CrespoDiso on Facebook and Instagram. Email us cinemacrespediso@gmail.com and we'll send you stickers because we got a whole bunch of them to send.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, speaking of corresponding on Twitter and stuff, yeah. I've been talking to Billy D on Twitter.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That was an awesome guy.
And I Love Blood.
Oh, yeah, I Love Blood. And I hope that you're listening, Billy, because I'm going to put you on the spot, brother. I messaged you and we talked like a month ago.
Yeah.
And I asked him to watch a movie for me.
Yeah, which one?
I asked him to watch The Killer Tongue.
Whoa, it sounds crazy.
Bro, it is the fucking dog shit worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
Billy does love dog shit movies.
And honestly, if you guys ever have the time, I would love, I would be tickled like a child.
What's it about? Drew's looking it up. What's it about? What's The Killer Tongue about?
The Killer Tongue. It's about this, like, woman's tongue becomes possessed and grows, like, 8 feet long and grows a mouth and can talk.
Whoa.
And her cats get turned into, like, these transvestite people. It's... like, she has sex with her own... I couldn't believe it. We went to this movie rental place that does 5 movies for 5 days for $5.
Okay.
And a buddy of mine picked the movie out, and that's what he picked. And now he's been fucking completely revoked from ever picking anything ever again. Holy cow, we will never get that time back.
The Killer Tongue.
It's from 1996. Apparently, it's a Spanish movie. Horror, science fiction.
Oh, it's a Spanish movie. Yeah. La Lengua Quiroso. I don't know.
Bro, if they would have cleaned up the plot.
You should know. How do you say Killer Tongue in Spanish?
La lengua Matadora?
Matadora?
Yeah. Here it says Asesina.
Oh, La Lengua Asesina, yeah.
Oh, the assassin tongue. Asesina. I do whenever I see assassins on Amazon, the Stallone James Woods movie, Assassins, I go, Asesino. To myself, asesinos, los asesinos, en Telemundo, sabro.
Sabro gigante.
Sabro gigante. Oh, I miss Sabro gigante so you much, too. Man. Oh, such a good. Now I'm stuck with Desmadrugados. Yeah. Like these fucking idiots. I mean, at least they got the titties, but.
Yeah.
I need that Don Francisco. Don Francisco's got the Wednesday show, but then there's still no titties.
None.
It's just him talking to people.
None.
Who cares about Don Francisco talking to people?
Not me.
Bring out the boobs. But yeah, dude, Killer Tongue, if the plot was a little better and...
You mean La Lengua Asesina.
La Lengua Asesina. If they fixed the plot and worked on the character development, it could work its way up to being a piece of shit movie.
It could work its way up to piece of shit. How do you spell Asesina? Oh, I'll figure that out later. All right, well, Billy, did you watch this movie? Tweet us, let us know.
Tweet him.
Emerald_Emperor. Let him know. You got him waiting.
Billy, I'm waiting, brother.
He's listening to
him. I'm waiting.
Don't
make me put my spandex on, brother. I'd hate to do it.
As a matter,
I will be the Simon Asesino.
He will elbow drop you from so far away. And Billy's lanky, too. He can take it. He'll take a hit.
All right, speaking of Billy D, let's go ahead, and since we're already talking about him, let's do the Billy D's, the movies, his pick of the week, and he has his own intro, and it goes like this.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
There we go, Drewster Cogburn, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
This week has been pretty shitty.
Aww.
My girl got me sick, so I've been on lockdown at Fort Awesome.
At least your girl got you something. What a horrible braggart.
Filling my body with cold meds and tortilla soup. The bright side is that I got to finish editing a project I've been working on for a few weeks, and I got to watch a ton of shit.
See, he watches shit.
I watched some homesick favorites, Dread, The Raid, 1 and 2, Black Dynamite on Friday.
See, you mentioned The Raid, we're talking about The Raid.
The Fog, Prince of Darkness, In the Mouth of Madness, and Halloween on Saturday morning, because I could sleep with all the sickness, and John Carpenter announced Halloween news that is super exciting.
Yes!
What are your homesick favorites? Your cinematic blanket and chicken soups?
Oh. Well, you got a movie if you're sick at home, something you're going to put on to as comfort food. You got anything like that?
Man on the Moon.
Oh, yeah, and Andy Kaufman, Man on the Moon with Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That's loves interesting. It. Also, Night at the Roxbury.
That's a fun movie. Yeah. It's like, Doug's like a fax machine. It's a funny movie. Drew, you got anything that if you're sick at home, you throw something on?
Zodiac, Quick Way to Kill, 2.5 hours.
Wow. Quick Way to Kill, 2.5, yep.
Trying to think what else that I can just like.
In my similar way, I'd put on Blade Runner because that's almost a 2.5 hour movie I can just get sucked into. Uh-huh. And just, like sit there, sinking chicken soup, watching Blade Runner.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
I did watch some new stuff. One awesome movie and one really terrible one.
We got two for Billy D. Here we go.
I rented a movie called Don't Knock Twice on Amazon.
Okay.
It stars Katie Sackhoff as an artist / ex junkie who has turned her life around and gotten married and wants to reconnect with the daughter she gave up to the state a decade prior.
Right.
They also managed to work a ghost story in here too. Something about knocking on an old woman's door and raising a demon. This movie seemed to go on forever and didn't make much sense.
Oh, that's not good.
I've been on a lot of cold medicine though, so I may not be 100% reliable, but this seemed really shitty. The performances were all good. The story just didn't make much sense.
Right.
I was never sure who was the monster or who was the victim. And it had like three endings. I also rented The Love Witch, last night on Amazon. This was awesome. It's a love letter to 60s and 70s sleaze exploitation movies. Pagan panic films, sexploitation, whatever you want to call it. It was so bright and colorful, evoking a cross between Austin Powers and Dario Argento. Pentagrams and nudity, and dudity, oh my. It's about Elaine, the titular love witch. She shows up in a small California town to reconnect with the former leaders of her San Francisco coven, and basically that's it. She enchants a bunch of men, but with no real agenda other than to sow some sexy chaos. I love this. My only issue with it is when they switch from the lush photography of the insides to drab exterior shots with modern cars on the road. Other than that, this fits right in with the screening of Nude for Satan, A Virgin Among the Living Dead. Wait, A Virgin Among the Living Dead, or even Maniac. Also, cold meds. Stay well, stay cool, Billy D.
There you go. So you can check out The Love Witch if you're looking for something good. Or Don't Knock Twice if you're looking for something bad, but it has a ghost.
Yes, it has a ghost.
And Katie Sackhoff.
Apparently.
Speaking of witches, man, I listened to the podcast where you talked about, on Curtis Earth, WPRK, you talked about the autopsy of Jane Doe.
Yeah, that's a crazy movie,
bro.
Man.
Yeah. As soon as I heard your review, I jumped on Wikipedia because I know I'll never have the balls to actually watch it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a...
Yeah.
It was just,
yeah.
Oh, I can't. I have no words.
It was intense.
Yeah. It's a messed up little movie.
Bro, I got chills just reading it.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. Stuff
and the autopsy stuff was like really, like, gross.
Really, yeah, like, pretty graphic.
It was like, pouring back the skin and stuff. And they're like, oh, look at the lungs all burned out.
Oh, wait a minute. What's inside the skin?
Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah. Bullshit. They're like,
grabbing things. Writing inside underneath the. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's crazy. Bro. It's a crazy movie. Yeah, we reviewed that on last week's show, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and then I did talk about it with Curtis because I call him there every Thursday on WPRK. So check it out, 91.5. Got to listen live. But it's not a podcast.
Not a podcast.
It's a fucking radio show, goddammit.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the goddamn radio. All right, let's see. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You know what? It's.
Pick something, Chris.
You pick something.
Vox Populi. Picked. Go.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi.
Sure, doing some producing. How do you like that?
It happens from time to time.
Here we go, people. What you see, let us know. Email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Message us on Facebook, Twitter, however you want to do it. And we'll read your shit on the show. Write us a iTunes review. And we'll read your iTunes review. This is where we'll read it. Drew Cochran, what do people have?
We got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
He's got reviews of Gold and Lego Batman.
All right, here we go. We're going to put all that aside because it is time for...
I'm really glad Simon didn't like rip off his clothes and he was wearing like his spandex underneath. Like, I'm ready!
Good idea for next time.
Watch. Break out a belt and just smack it across the head with it.
Oh!
This guy. Drew is 4-0 this year, but he is also 0-3 against Simon.
About to be 4-1.
So let's see what happens. Oh, with that kind of attitude, Drew. As a matter of fact, though, this week's game. Brought to us by Gabe, our homie Gabe. He came up with a game suggestion and we're gonna play it. So this one's all on him. It's called,
I don't know if I should thank him yet or not.
You'll find out soon. This week's game is called Opening Lines.
Oh shit.
I'm gonna tell you the opening line of a movie. You tell me what movie it is. Two groups, A and B, 1 through 5. Some of them are very easy. Very easy.
Some of them are very
some
difficult.
Some of them are a little more difficult. So here we go. Drew, winner takes the ball out. You get to go. Do you want group A or group B? Choose wisely.
Let's go group B.
Okay, here we go. B, what movie is this from? Opening line number one. Way out west there was this fella I want to tell you about. Goes by the name of Jeff Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski.
That is correct. Number two. People were always asking me, did I know Tyler Durden?
Fight Club.
That's correct. Number three. I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to, and the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir, do you maggots understand this?
God, I can fucking, god damn it. Why can I not remember the name of this fucking movie right now?
Because you're put on the spot.
Is there a timer?
Because it matters. Because it matters that you know the name of this movie.
I can even see. I can see the poster. It's.
Simon wants to say it.
Hi.
You drank so
much. Oh, try God. It's...
No, no, nothing.
It's not that one.
No, it's not that one.
It's not that one. It's not that one. It's
which
it's,
only
it's
leaves
that one, the one that I can't remember the name of right now.
Aww.
Fucking Christ Almighty! Here. I can't remember the name of the fucking movie.
Simon,
Full Metal Jacket.
Thank
Full
you,
Full Metal Jacket.
Thank you,
Full Metal Jacket.
That's the one.
Number four.
That's the one.
Number four. Are you watching closely?
Now you see me.
No.
Oh.
The Prestige.
Oh, yes. I mean,
Christian Bale says that.
Figured it was a magic movie.
And finally, at number five. Which one? Oh, that's. I was 12 going on 13 the first time I saw a dead human being.
Stand by me.
That is correct. 3 out of 5.
I'm really angry I couldn't remember Full Metal Jacket.
You should be angry, yeah. That was one of the easy ones.
Yeah.
But then you got Stand By Me. I thought that was one of the hard ones. Simon, you know the game. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Number one. This is how I do. See, I can do trivia. Simon, I don't know what I'm
good. Good.
Simon's a trivia master, so if anyone can critique trivia skills, it would be... Here we go. Number one. Simon, name the movie. My name is Max. My world is fire and blood.
Mad Max?
That is incorrect. Drew. This isn't a report. I just want to see Drew.
I know. I'm just trying to...
No?
It's Mad Max Fury Road.
It's Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh.
It's the newer one.
I don't know how specific we had to be. I knew it was Fury Road, but I just thought...
Well, there's a movie called Mad Max.
Yeah, because there is a movie called Mad Max.
Yeah. Man. I knew it was Fury Road.
You gotta be specific.
I cost myself that point.
Come on,
Damn,
trivia master.
Yeah. Damn,
you just gotta be specific. Come on. Put on your trivia hat. Number two.
Watch that be the cost.
We get to a tiebreaker, then it's anyone's game. Number two.
We were somewhere around Barstow on the edge of the desert when the drugs began to take hold. Drew knows it.
No idea.
No idea? We were somewhere around Barstow?
Fear and Loathing, Las Vegas.
Never seen it.
You never saw it? It's a good one, man. It's a good one. All right, you got to run the table. You're just a tie at number three.
First list was my bag.
Oh, boy. Number three. Let me tell you what Like a Virgin is about.
Reservoir Dogs.
That's correct. Number four. Where is it? It's up here. I'm 36 years old. I love my family. I love baseball. And I'm about to become a farmer. But until I heard The Voice, I've never done a crazy thing in my whole life.
Field of Dreams.
That's correct. Number five. I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me. Oof, that's the hardest one of all of them.
Jeez Louise.
What?
That's the hardest one of all of them. I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me.
Damn you, Mad Max Fury.
Both of these guys are stumped. And I'll be honest, if I didn't have the answer in front of me, Alex Trebek style, I don't think I would have got it either. If you got it at home, tweet me at I am Chris Crespo, and I'll send you a prize. No, I won't. Thank you.
You want to give me a lifeline?
I ain't going to send you shit. If you got a lifeline, tweet Simon the answer right now. The answer, and he'll use that as a lifeline.
I don't know.
That is from The Departed. That's Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah. It kills you, man.
Drew, you. The winner. 5-0.
Congratulations.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Good job. I had a good run.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Wow, fuck you, that? Fury Rhodes.
Oh.
Bitch.
Here we go. Back to Scott's email. He has reviews of Gold and...
Lego Batman.
Here we go.
Gold is a film that looks and sounds and feels like it was directed by Martin Scorsese.
Interesting.
Niece's cousin's best friend's Uber driver.
Oh, that's not as good.
Everything about it is desperately trying to recreate stuff that Scorsese has already done several times over, only with noticeably less effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Even the soundtrack, so many carefully chosen songs linked to a particular era in recent history... Mm-hmm. None of them accomplish their mission of accenting a particular scene in just the right way, as Scorsese always does so masterfully. I can't help but think that this screenplay was shot to Scorsese, but he had the good sense to pass on it because, as I said, he's already done this. But if he had said yes, and even though it would have been considered a rehash of his past works, Gold would probably be nominated for a few awards.
Huh.
I'll leave you with this. As much as McConaughey tried to elevate Gold, his lone scene in The Wolf of Wall Street was infinitely better than this entire movie.
Wow.
That's Scorsese.
Interesting.
2 out of 4 stars.
Okay. Fair enough. We appreciate that. And what it is about Lego Batman.
Lego Batman.
Betcha he loves it.
Has anyone else noticed how Lego Batman's mentality is exactly that of Donald Trump? I mean, exactly.
Ooh.
Funny how enormous wealth, family issues, and rampant narcissism are hilarious and adorable in a fictional cartoon, but truly disturbing in a real-life president of the United States.
Interesting.
Who pays his taxes? Not Batman.
Batman doesn't pay his taxes. He admits it.
He admits it, yeah.
Very happily. Doesn't pay his taxes.
Anyway, of course, Lego Batman was fucking awesome. And how could it not be? Lord Miller would have had to really tried, and I mean hard, to fuck this one up. But no, they choose the easier route and just hammered that nail one-stroke style like Daniel-san in Karate Kid.
Very good.
I will have to see it again because I know I missed some stuff. Many of the jokes came so fast and during action sequences, I just couldn't hear them all against the IMAX sound. Oddly, my theater had only a few dozen people, so overwhelming crowd laughter wasn't an issue. To be honest, the loudest, most obnoxious laugh in my theater came from me. I won't spoil anything, but it was during the climax when almost everything came together and there was just a solitary click sound with just a second of silence. That shit had me laughing almost out of my seat. But nobody else seemed to be with me on that particular joke, so I was the lone jackass ruining the movie at that moment.
Oh, you jackass.
Whatever. Fuck those people.
There you go.
As great as that was, I don't think Lego Batman was quite as good as the Lego Movie, but only by a skosh.
Mm.
Lego Movie had a broader canvas to work with, and thus could be and was a more eclectic story.
Mm.
Lego Batman felt almost pigeonholed in scope compared to its predecessor. But nevertheless, Lego Batman knocked out of the park. Bring on Lego Ninjago.
Bring it on.
3.5 out of 4.
Nice.
Take care, guys. Scott.
Thanks a lot, Scott. We really appreciate it, buddy. Awesome stuff. All right, what's next?
We got an email from Gabe.
Oh, what's up, Gabe? You played the game. Now we're going to read your email.
He's got John Wick 2 review and a Lego Batman review.
All right, another Lego Batman review and then John Wick. Here we go.
John Wick 2. some standout one-liners. Gunfu Crazmo, lots of neck holds and arm locks, lots of shootings of the face, nasty knifings, everything you want from a badass John Wick.
Yes.
This one explores the assassin universe. I enjoyed the first one most, but a worthy follow-up.
Okay, fair enough. You like the first one more, but that's cool. I think I like the second one more just because it's bigger.
I would have to agree. And more pencil.
More pencil. 100% more pencil.
More pencil.
First one has more of an emotional hook. The revenge story is easier to get behind, but the second one is just bigger and crazier and better to look at, I think.
Right. Lego Batman review.
There's there.
Love the opening.
Loved it.
The opening was hilarious.
It's a great opening. Great opening.
Black screen. Every great movie has to start with a black screen.
Yeah. It's very, very meta. Very self-aware.
That's awesome.
Love the opening. Harvard for police. Statistics. Compassion. That was unnecessary. Lobster Thermidor. Tweet, tweet on the street. PhD in smoke bombs. X-ray Batman was kind of cool. Mm. I'm gonna go start looting. I remember that scene now. Yeah. I'm going to go start looting.
Yeah.
Lego Alfred is the greatest of all time Alfred. That's because it's Ray Fiennes.
Ray Fiennes is Alfred, yeah.
Can you hold on to it like a big boy? I hate you. Useless shark repellent. Piss.
The shark repellent.
Oh, Tupac movie. What? He really looks like him more than anybody in Straight Outta Compton. Apparently there's a Tupac movie, I guess.
Someone's trying to make a Tupac movie, but for sure the guy who played Tupac in Straight Outta Compton looked like him.
I think that movie will do really well in theaters 20 years ago.
You think so, right? For some reason they've been trying to make a Tupac movie and they can't do it. They can't do it. They've been struggling.
You're done. Stop it.
Wow. Or maybe wait another 20 years and then it's time to do it.
Yeah,
it's a weird timing thing, right? We appreciate the reviews, Gabe. Thanks a lot, buddy. All right, what's next?
The internet's down.
The internet's down. Drew's gonna go fix the internet while we do that. Simon,
yes,
we talked about this on Spillover bonus episode, but you mentioned not too big, kind of squeamish for movies. But do you like the Halloween movies at all?
I do, actually.
John Carpenter's Halloween.
Yep, that's my favorite of all the big slasher guys.
Oh, is it really?
Michael Myers.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, they're making a new one, a new Halloween, a low budget one that's going to be a direct sequel to Halloween 2, and it's being written and directed by David Gordon Green and Danny McBride. David Gordon Green is the guy.
Danny McBride.
And these guys, they pitched an idea to John Carpenter to reboot Halloween, and John Carpenter gave him the blessing. He may even do the music. And they're coming back with a whole new Halloween, set in the style of the first ones of the originals, done by these guys who are most known for comedy.
Yeah.
But they're not doing a funny Halloween. They're doing a straight up horror slasher film Halloween.
Any details on it?
No, not yet.
Because I love Michael Myers. That's one of the few things that I'll put my scaredy cat stuff away for to watch.
Halloween is a great movie, man. It's a classic for a reason.
Hated the Rob Zombie ones, though, man.
So over it.
Part one was okay, but part two was just so trippy and weird.
At least he was doing his own thing with it, though.
Yeah,
he wasn't afraid to take it in a different direction.
Yeah. The second Halloween was a lot like the second Super Mario. Super Mario 2 Mario, was trippy and weird and super strange, and
it was a
didn't
Mario
make
game,
any sense.
But it was
it wasn't a Mario
like
game.
It was, but it wasn't. I know what you're saying, but it's like it's Mario, it's Luigi, the visuals are there.
It has the characters.
But then it's not right though.
Mario game by name only, and but not by style. Exactly. Yeah, man, the thing with the horse, and I got a buddy who's a big movie fan, and he's trying to explain to me, well, you're trying to get into Michael Myers' psyche. I don't need to know his psyche, I need to know him stabbing people in the face.
Yeah, that's the thing. So they're going back to the idea of Michael Myers as the shape. You know, he's not some knowable entity or something that can be psychologically broken down. He's an evil thing that's just like stalking and killing and stuff
as
like that.
As it should be.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the stuff that's scariest, the unexplained. When you start dissecting everything,
when you start explaining
it,
things, it's like, no, we don't care about the explanation. We want the mystery.
Yeah.
100%. Drew, are we back online?
Yes, we are.
Fantastic. Let's do it.
All right. Got an email from Doug out in New Jersey.
What's up, Doug in New Jersey? Actually, this email came in a couple weeks ago, and I missed it, but I came across it today. Sorry about the delay, Doug. Here we go.
Chris and Drew.
That's us.
I martyred myself and saw The Bye-Bye Man.
Ooh, The Bye-Bye Man. Horror film.
Okay. Please don't let my death be in vain.
See, it almost was.
Don't go see this movie.
Okay.
I normally give a pass to a bad horror movie if I can tell it was made... If I can tell, it was made with care and love, but this was not the case. A villain with a face like a shitty Slipknot mask, a lack of backstory, and unlikable quote-unquote heroes are what really made this movie such a mess. Also, awful dialogue like, Daddy, you know I can't read in the dark. What do you think I am? A flashlight?
It's terrible.
I also caught Split this week.
Okay, so
which,
Split.
While significantly better than the Bye Bye Man, sure. still left a lot to be desired.
Okay.
The ending in particular was miserably underwhelming, and I can't tell if it was silly or cringeworthy.
Hmm.
James McAvoy acts his ass off, which was definitely the biggest plus.
Yes, he does.
There's also a small scene at the end of that, while out of place, will please old M. Night fans.
Yeah.
Lastly, I have a question.
Question.
What are some universally or nearly universally panned movies that you guys personally love? For example, I'm actually a huge Batman and Robin fan. Also, Billy D, if you're listening, I'd love to hear your response. Your recommendations are always on point.
Nice. Billy, hit us up with your all the movies that other people pan but you love, and we'll read them. First off, you mentioned Split. Simon, we said we were going to talk about Split before.
Hang on. Mm-hmm. Thanks for making the best movie podcast in Orlando or anywhere else. By the way, I'd love some stickers, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, Doug. He gave us his address. Yes. So yeah, stickers in the mail, Doug. They're coming for sure.
Awesome.
So yeah, he mentioned Split. He didn't like it as much as we did. I think we liked it more. But it's a good movie, man. It's a horror movie where it's like a psychological thriller more than gory or anything like that. There's some blood in it and some intensity, but for the most part, it's all like, oh, this shit is just crazy and weird.
I guess I can understand how he could see the ending as being anticlimactic.
Sure, it does in a way. Yeah, it resolves itself in a way that makes sense for the story, but may not be so cinematically satisfying.
Does it make sense with the movie that it's supposed to be linked to?
Yeah.
Yes.
Does it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, whole meta-human type of thing, for sure.
Because I haven't watched it, but I saw the cameo at the end and what they say, and it felt to me like it was a...
And
it's only connected in that he acknowledged
in
it
a very, in the story. In a very tangential way. The story does not rely on the other movie, on Unbreakable, but the
characters
there. It
just puts
there,
them
though.
In the same universe.
They're in the same universe, and M. Night's already been talking online and stuff about how he has his next story treatment. He has 11-page story treatment that is the further merging of these movies and this creation of this universe where all these characters exist together and stuff.
Do you think it's gonna lead to like an Avengers-type thing where there's a big blow-off?
That's the idea, yeah. To build up a whole thing. The whole Shut the Shyamalan-iverse is upon us. Simon, it's upon us. Do you have a movie that's panned that you like anyway? A lot of people didn't like Speed Racer, but I'm still a big fan of that movie.
I love Speed Racer.
What do you mean?
Like, the critics didn't like movies. Like, for example, the Ernest movies. I say this all the time. Ernest goes to camp. Ernest saves Christmas. Critically speaking, people don't like them. They're garbage. The critics don't like them. I love those stupid movies.
My favorite movie of all time fits the bill. And I get made fun of it in the locker rooms when I talk about it. Hocus Pocus.
Oh, there. Nice.
I think that's a fairly well-reviewed movie. I think it depends on who you're talking to.
Now it is.
Yeah,
now.
Nah, but it has had a resurgence in the last few years.
It's become like a cult thing, but hated it.
Bloodsport's one where if you look at the reviews, the reviews are terrible for Bloodsport, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I can't defend it in any way outside of it.
Just other than awesome. You like it. Exactly.
I like it and it's awesome, but technically, yeah, it's terrible.
See, I cling to the stuff that I watched in my childhood, like the animated...
I think that's part of it, yeah.
Tom and Jerry, the movie, the animated movie, is.
Yeah,
I know it sucks, but the songs are so great and the movie's just amazing. I love it.
That's funny. You got anything panned that you're like, fuck it, I still like this movie? You know, something like, most people are like, that movie sucks. Like, no, I still like it.
I mean, most of the movies that I like, most people don't. So, you know.
Oh, so just everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just everything.
No.
All right, good stuff. Here we go. Moving on.
We've got an email from Ron out in L.A.
Ron out in L.A. Ron's our homie. Here we go.
It's insane that I read on Friday. Hang on. It's insane that I read that Friday went to 50 Shades. But hopefully when I download this episode, I'll find out that it's in fifth place or something.
It did, yeah.
Because apparently,
number two.
I guess
sure.
Friday.
Number one. Friday was number one movie. Yeah, sure.
Because Lego Batman and Wick 2 were some awesome movies. I'm sure Chris and the fine and friendly Drewmeister saw both. So let's talk about them like the buddies we are. Is Lego Batman a sequel or is it a spinoff? I think the deep messages that are hidden in the movie are strong. Oddly, I did identify with the Joker most in this film. With respect to this one-sided relationship with Batman and the efforts he puts into the relationship.
Right, yeah.
I think that particular message, along with not being afraid of getting hurt, are...
Just read it. Just read it as a...
No, it's not a word.
Oh.
Trying to figure out what he tried to say there.
Sound it out.
Well, it's... N-O-T-R-S-C-F-O-R, Chris. It's not a word.
Notificer. Okay,
here you go. Not being afraid of getting hurt are the real something for the youths of today. These are the underlying themes you guys identified with. The funny showcase of patience and art. The little nuances with this film used were fantastic, and I'm glad it went down so well. 4.3 out of 5.
There we go. La Lengua Asesina himself, Ron, chiming in. We appreciate it, buddy.
John Wick 2
yes.
was just a world-building movie. I respect and appreciate it for that fact.
Yeah.
It answered many questions I didn't even know I had. The fights were superb and respectable. Only 3 kills seemed to be like the guys are waiting to die. All the bigger, beefy guys were hot as fuck. I mean, shit, by statistical analysis, some of them had to be bears. Like all those guys in the mirror room. Jesus Christ, so beefy. Sorry, sidetracked. Anyway, I love that
Ron likes beefy guys, Simon.
He does. He likes big bearded men.
He's like you.
Sorry, sidetracked. Anyway, I love that they included ASL and just cultural acceptance. Ruby Rose and Common did very well. Common ain't no joke.
Nope.
Weird to find an all-white subway station. All those hot suicide girls from the 90s found jobs.
Yep.
So I'm happy for them.
There's a scene, a lot of chicks with tattoos. Yeah, that's really
so
funny.
So I'm happy for them in those pink tops.
That's super funny.
It really was like the suicide. I mean, yeah. they were all dressed like 50s style, but they all had tattoos.
Ron, that's gold.
That's great.
This movie hit a lot of my good buttons. I love Keanu and Lawrence Beck together. They only 3 years difference for those two ages. I'd also want that dog. Where did it come from? I don't remember that from one. Do you think
it's a new dog.
You could be a contract killer? I know I could.
No.
What would be your niche? 4.5. 4.8 out of 5.
I'd either poison people or I learn to be a sniper to kill people from far away because I can't see. I can't see a person die. I'm not trying to shoot someone just to watch them die. I'm not Johnny Cash. No. Could you be an assassin? Could you be an assassin, Simon?
Definitely.
These guys, look at these killers over here.
I'm in a room with killers. I mean, yeah. I care more about animal life than I do human life. So yeah, I could easily be a killer.
And I hurt people for a living.
That's
so.
True. Yeah, that's very, very true. All right, back to the Vox Populi. What we got?
All right. No, that's need to delete that one because I already read it.
You already read it.
All right, we got a Facebook post from
Facebook. Get us up on Facebook. Send them across what he saw.
Jason Lucia.
What's up, Lucia? Jason Lucia? What's up, Jason?
Lucia, I don't know.
What's up, JL?
Discovered this podcast from listening to Tom and Dan.
Word.
I am also a movieman. I have been binge listening to past episodes. Is there an episode where you talk about The Room? And if so, what podcast number is it?
You know, we did talk about The Room once with Pedro Lima back in like the 80s. Episode 80, something like that. I'll check that out. I know Drew and I talked about
We
reference it a lot. Have you ever seen The Room, Simon? The Room is a fucked up, terrible movie. Not fucked up. It's just terrible.
It's an awesome movie.
By this guy called Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, you're telling me apart, Lisa. It's like really bad dialogue and everything.
It's one of those, it's so terrible, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. Ugh. Especially if you're like, on a substance of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
If you fall on top of a vat of kratom tea.
Like, there you go.
Then you might appreciate it.
Put on Tommy Wiseau's The Room and you'll be like, somebody made this movie and it cost them how much money?
The Room is like if you told an alien about what movies are and then they made one without actually watching it. It's crazy.
It's weird.
That's how I feel about The Killer Tongue.
That's all right. It's probably that type of movie.
I mean, it's one of the few movies where all of the outdoor scenes are filmed inside and all of the inside scenes are filmed outside.
It makes no sense. And it costs like $6 million, but it looks like $5. It's terrible. It's amazing. It's so bad. It's a wonderful
Maybe
watch.
They spent the budget on catering.
They may have. Hmm? They spent the budget on something because it wasn't on the movie. It looks so crazy.
Maybe on football.
There's 2 sex scenes in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, we're going to figure this one out.
And the sex scenes are so awkward.
They're so bad. It's a lot of butt, a lot of man butt, Tommy Wiseau's, and he's got a weird old man ripped body.
It's strange.
And he's got an accent that he can't peg where he's from. He's trying to be an American guy, and it's such a crazy movie, man.
It's from parts unknown.
It is from parts unknown. Yeah. Jason, thanks for listening. We appreciate it and for chiming in. And yeah, you know, if you're just getting into the show, there are so many hours to binge listen to.
So many.
And so many different topics we cover. It's
some much
treasure
better than
trove
others.
Of free. Yes, definitely some better than others. That's for sure. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the Vox Populi.
At Mr. Nathathon, got at us on Twitter.
You can hit us up on Twitter. What's up, Nathathon?
Chris Bodiso question.
Yeah.
Favorite movie badass in a suit? I'd have to go with Bond since he was the first badass I saw.
James Bond is the badass in a suit. If I want to go artsy fartsy, I'd say there's a Seijin Suzuki movie called what's it called? Just check out Seijin Suzuki. S A U G U N Suzuki. He made
Japanese versions of Bond movies in the 60s and 70s, but way crazier and more colorful and cooler, much cooler. And it's all badasses in suits. Or Le Samurai, was a French... It's a French movie, but it's another badass in a suit. Modern John Wick.
John Wick is a modern badass.
Can you think of a badass in a suit? Riddler wears a suit.
Yeah, the Riddler does wear a suit. If I have to go generic action, the guy from Hitman is pretty badass.
Hitman is a badass in a suit, 100%. Yeah, he's like the suitiest suit, too. Yeah. He's all about... He's never not wearing a suit.
Red tie and all that jazz.
If he's not wearing a suit, then he's just Mr. Clean.
Yeah.
Really aggressive Mr. Clean. Yeah. What a dickhead.
Or Professor Xavier with the ability to move his legs.
Yes, do you move? Oh, Professor X. anything else?
He's also got a mini review.
It's not a mini review. Here we go.
From John Wick 2.
Another John Wick. Everyone wants to see the Lego Batman in John Wick 2?
John Wick 2 is bigger and more gory. While being more fun, it doesn't have the emotional pull of the first. Because the puppy doesn't die.
Yeah, the puppy.
Kill the puppy, man.
Everybody can relate to a puppy dying.
Puppy death equals ratings.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
This one, they have a dog. It's a much bigger dog. Dog doesn't even come close to dying.
No, like, no.
Dog's cool.
He hangs out with Lance Reddick the whole time.
Do they show the puppy being killed?
No, you hear it off screen.
You hear a pop in it.
And then Kano crawls over to the dog.
And he starts crying and holding it.
He's like, and then he digs his guns out from cement. And he's like, the music's like,
with a sledgehammer.
Simon, you gotta watch it.
You really do.
Is that it for the Vox Pop line?
Yes, it is.
All right, that's it. We appreciate it. We're gonna skip movie news because there's only a couple stories anyway, really small ones. We'll just save those for a spillover episode. And we'll jump straight to the lightning round.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, Simon, I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. You ready?
Yes, sir.
You know how this goes. Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one, what's up with them pandas?
They taste delicious.
Number two, what is your favorite dessert?
Banana pudding.
Number three, what is your favorite desert?
The Sahara.
Number four, where in time is Carmen Sandiego?
The 1920s.
Number five, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. You can only watch three of them. Which ones do you watch?
The Rumble,
mm-hmm.
Mania,
mm-hmm.
and SummerSlam.
All right. Goodbye, Survivor Series. Number six, have we all gone too far with this whole bacon thing?
You can never go too far with bacon.
All right. Number seven.
I don't think we've done it enough.
Done it enough?
We need more.
All right. Number seven, why not prosciutto?
Oh, better question. Why prosciutto?
Oh, question with a question. Number eight. Why would you let someone... Okay, no, sorry. Number eight. Would you let someone break one of your bones for $1 million?
Absolutely.
All right, not even asking which bone. Number nine. Ray-Bans or Ray Charles?
Ooh, Ray-Bans.
Okay. Number 10. Which Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle are you?
Donatello.
He's a Donatello. He's a smart one. Nobody ever says Donatello. Nah. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Donnie.
Swag bag time. Break out the bags. Here we go. Blue bag, brown bag. Which one of those bags do you want, Simon? Pick one.
Let's go with the polka dot one. The blue polka dot bag.
Drew, break it out. See what's in there. Let's see what Simon may get to go home
Sir,
with.
Sir, you may get to go home with a 7-in-1 LED light up stick. A wrist strap is included, so are batteries. It has 7 flash modes.
What? LED light up stick.
For my raving days.
you've got vintage toys, buzzer ring, trick your friends, it's classic fun.
Buzz those kids.
Watch that handshake, Curtis.
you've got a puzzle bug. It's 100 puzzle piece of a chimpanzee riding a tractor.
Aww, that looks fun. It's a chimp.
Got you a copy of King Kong from... Ooh, what year is this?
That's the original 1933.
Oh, the original 1933. And on the back, it has Godzilla versus Mothra.
Yes!
Nice. So apparently it's
multiple movies, all right.
And we've got you a can of Silly Sludge and a whole bunch of stickers.
A whole bunch of stickers. Simon, all these are yours. You can take them home and play with them, have a lot of fun, watch the movies, put together the puzzle, or put them away. You don't see all that stuff again, and you can take what's in the box. That's your Sir Godbird has right over here.
What's in the box?
You can take what's in the box, or you take all that stuff that's in the bag. You know what's in the bag. You have no idea what's in the box.
I took the bag last time because there was Pringles in them, and I think I finished them before I left your driveway.
Probably right.
I'll take the box.
All right, here we go. Go ahead, pop the top. Reach in there, pull it out, and tell people what you got.
Oh, super sweet, dude. It's a mini 3D puzzle, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle style.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, I hit the wrong button.
No, what?
That's the wrong button. I have to label these better. I'm sorry.
So awful at this.
They both start with The Price is Right, and then I meant to hit the good button.
It's the Party Wagon.
You got the 3D Party Wagon puzzle. That's a pretty badass
dude,
little puzzle, man.
Gnarly.
There you go. That's yours, buddy. Take that home. Enjoy it. We appreciate it, Simon.
Man, I appreciate being asked back, man.
It's always good seeing you here. Always good seeing you. Drew, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Rate some reviews on iTunes. Hit us up, cinemacrestmedia@gmail.com. Read more books. Be excellent to each other. And fight the man. Damn the man. Save the empire. We'll be back next week. Peace out.
Critic we know, and besides, he works cheap. Let's talk movies with resident movie critic Chris Crespo.
All right, Chris Crespo here in, well, not in the studio, on the phone. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, Curtis. How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother.
Can you hear me fine? Can you hear me fine? Check 1, 2. How does it sound this week?
It sounds good. You know, I was talking to my friend Drew up in New York, who listens to our show every week, and I said, yeah, listen in later, because they're all snowed in today, so they're all home. So I said, yeah, listen in. You know, we got, Erica Lee and then Simon, and then we'll have Chris Crespo, the movie reviewer. He goes, oh, did he get his phone fixed yet? I said, I think, yeah, we started a GoFundMe for GoFundMe, and it's so it's working good, right?
Oh. Yeah, it's working.
Okay.
Can't hear me. I'm gone. No, it's working good for now. We'll see, though. Knock on wood.
All right. Let's talk movies.
Let's talk them. Let's talk movies. 24 frames per second.
Mm-hmm.
The illusion of movement via showing pictures in sequence, going back to the late 1800s.
Celluloid.
I saw a movie last weekend. I saw one of them, too, last weekend.
Hey, what'd you see?
Well, you know, the thing is, it's Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl weekend, which is traditionally the one of the top three slowest movie weekends box office wise, because everyone's at home seeing the Super Bowl. So studios just exacerbate that by avoiding the weekend and not releasing any good movies.
Right, right.
You know, so it becomes like a vicious cycle. You know, it's the snake eating its own tail. So fortunately, what tends to happen is if you live next to the correct theaters, little foreign films or indie movies will sneak in that weekend. So this year at the MZN, I got to see a movie called The Autopsy of Jane Doe. Have you heard of this one, Curtis?
Now, someone just mentioned this yesterday. It's playing at the MZN. No, I've not. I don't know what it's about. It sounds provocative, though.
Yes, a very provocative title, and also the setup. They took a horror film genre staple, and they managed to find that little twist, that one little thing that no one's done before, to give the whole thing that little extra pop. And what they did is they took your typical like exorcism, like haunting movie,
right,
and they set the whole thing during an autopsy inside a morgue. The whole movie. What happens is this father-son pair, the local morticians, they get a body in late at night from the police, a young woman. It's a Jane Doe. They start performing the autopsy, and then crazy things start happening around them. And it's a very tense, very crazy movie. It does have a twist that I saw coming almost immediately, but that being said, I still enjoyed the movie very much, so it doesn't hinge on that twist. It's not important to your enjoyment of it.
Right.
What works is that it's a very tense, very well-made movie, well-acted. The father-son duo is played by Emil Hirsch, who was in Into the Wild and Speed Racer, and Brian Cox plays the father. So Brian Cox already bringing extra, you know, gravitas and prestige to the whole thing. And I'd recommend it if you're into these type of movies. I think it was really good. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
What is the budget on this one?
It looked low budget for sure. I mean, the whole thing's practically set in like one room,
right,
in a hallway. That being said, the effects work was great. A lot of practical effects when it comes to the actual autopsy stuff. You have to imagine, obviously, going into this thing, it's in the title of the movie, Autopsy, so you're going to be seeing some practical effects dealing with dissecting or vivisecting, whatever you call it, you know, a dead body. And it looks really good. It's very convincing looking, I have to say. So, whatever money they did have, they put it into the right areas, i.e., the actors and the makeup work and the special effects, etc. At the end of the day, I think it all works quite well. And if you're into these type of movies, it's worth checking out. How do you do, Curtis, with horror movies in terms of like gory stuff? Like, I know you've seen Green Room. I know you like Green Room. But that movie gets pretty gnarly.
Yeah. You know, I guess I'm okay with the gore now. I used to be a bit more squeamish, but as I was telling Simon earlier, I prefer those suspenseful movies like It Follows or Rosemary's Baby. He had never seen Rosemary's Baby, and he said, "Is it gory?" I said, "No, there's no gore at all in that movie.
Not a drop of blood in
that. Not a drop of blood, but it's scary."
Yeah. You know.
But the gore fest is okay.
Because that's a psychological thriller,
right,
more or less. Yes, there are different ways to scare people, for sure.
Yeah. But
there's also some good movies who find ways to combine those different elements, and they do it both ways. So when you add in the great atmosphere of It Follows, but then It Follows does still throw in little bits of gore here and there, like at the very beginning. They show you something really intense, which then works in that movie's favor because he sees... The image you see is so crazy. I'm talking about the dead body on the beach that begins and It Follows. It's such a visceral image, but still shot in a very artistic, you know, beautiful way.
Certainly.
The rest of the movie, then you're on edge, like, oh, what's the next horrible thing that they're going to show? And to be honest, they never show anything that graphic again because they don't have to. They got you right away. Like, they know, oh, now you're going to be waiting for the next big thing, and we don't even have to give it to you. We'll just give you the tension instead, the atmosphere.
Right.
And this movie, Autopsy of Jane Doe, it does that because the goriest stuff, the grossest stuff, is actually like the autopsy itself. The rest of the movie, though, it's all like the craziness and the weirdness and the way the characters react to everything. Without giving away anything, the characters have certain reactions to crazy things in this movie that are like, typically in a movie, You're mad at your characters in a horror movie. You're mad at them because they're making terrible decisions, and they're doing so to keep the movie going.
Right.
You know, it's lazy writing. In this movie, the characters are making the right decisions at all times, you know, but it's just the writing is smart enough to then still get a step ahead of these characters and all that. So it's, you know, I definitely got to recommend it if you're into these type of movies.
Yeah. I can do gore. I can do gore. I just don't like... Yeah, for some reason, you mentioned The Green Room. For some reason, that did not outgore me, and there was a lot of gore in that.
It's not that there's a lot. There's like two or three very specific images that are very hard to look at, but they're also kind of quick and close to each other. And it's a similar thing than like with It Follows in Green Room. Once you see that and the stakes of the violence are ratcheted up that high, then for the rest of the movie, you're like, oh my goodness, like what's the next terrible thing they're going to show me? And then to be honest, they shy away from everything for the rest of the movie. Like things kind of happen off camera, or they happen very fast, or just some real quick stabby stuff. It's nowhere near as bad as that scene when they're actually in the room with the box cutter and the machetes and stuff. If right. people haven't seen Green Room and they're hearing us talk about it, they got to be like, what kind of
what
movie
are they talking about?
Well, you can find out for yourselves because it's on Amazon Prime and it's out there, I think, on Redbox. It's readily available, people. It's one of my favorite movies of last year, for sure. For you, Curtis, like personally talking to you,
about
movies all these years, I think you would get a kick out of this movie. I think you would enjoy it.
All right. Yeah, I'll check it out.
It's at the Envy. So, I mean, you know what? You should check the schedule, though. It may not be here past today. So if people are interested in it, they should look online to see if the Envy still can hold it over. So that's all I saw last weekend. This weekend's going to be better. I already have my tickets to go see the Lego Batman movie tonight.
What is the Lego Batman movie about? I mean, I didn't even see anything about this, so...
Do you remember the Lego movie from a couple years ago?
Yeah. It was great infomercial.
Did you get a chance to see it?
No.
It's quite good. And one of the great things about it is that one of the characters in the movie is Batman, i.e. Lego Batman,
right.
Voiced by Will Arnett. And it's one of the best like Batmans out there. He's so funny, the way they portray the character. And the character is such a hit that he got his own spinoff movie. 2 years later, here we are, the Lego Batman movie with, again, Will Arnett as Batman. Listen to this cast. Ray Fiennes is Alfred. Michael Cera is Robin. Zach Galifianakis is the Joker. Who else is in it? Lando Calrissian. Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah.
45 Billy Dee Williams. He's Two-Face. He's reprising the role of Harvey Dent that he played in Tim Burton's Batman and Batman Returns. He's doing the voice of Two-Face in the Lego Batman movie, which is hysterical.
Based on that cast, I have to see the movie.
Yeah, based on the cast alone, right? All these people signing up for this, they all saw something that was worth it. Plus, on Rotten Tomatoes, last I checked, it was scoring pretty well in terms of positive reviews. So I'm already going to see that tonight. And then tomorrow, I will be seeing John Wick Chapter 2. I believe you know I am a big fan of that first John Wick movie. I'm very excited for the sequel, very excited for it.
Well, what have you heard about it so far?
I know that it's only one. The first movie had two directors. This movie is only one of those two people. So I'm interested to see how the movie changes in style. And just like Lego Batman movie, if you check Rotten Tomatoes, it's scoring pretty well. The reviews are pretty good, which is encouraging because the first John Wick movie came in under the radar and it surprised people. This one now, there are expectations that they have to meet. So it's a bit of a different animal. I'm very interested to see how they respond to that. But, you know, based on the first movie, it's a very, very simple action movie. What's impressive about it is the style and the action itself. So as long as they get that part right, and then they don't make some ridiculous story that detracts from all that, then it should be perfectly fine.
Chris, did we talk about The Accountant last week?
Not last week, but we have talked about The Accountant in the past.
No, I know in the past, but I finally saw it last week.
Did you? Yeah.
I just wanted to get your take. I feel that this is a sequelable movie. I liked Ben Affleck's character enough that I could see another installment of this. What about you?
I can take that one further. I liked Ben Affleck and the character enough in the movie. I would have liked a better movie. So yes, I could see another like The Accountant 2. But like maybe written by someone else. It could be directed by the same guy, but written by someone else. A different story around that character. Because the character was interesting, and the world they set up was interesting. But then, I don't know, I felt the movie was it tried to be a little too clever for its own good.
Well, I just think the movie was going along great to the ending. The ending,
for the most part, yeah. Yeah, the last, like, 10, 20 minutes, I was like, I know exactly where it's going. And then when it got there, I was like, boo.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, but, no, they set up some interesting stuff and some interesting characters. Like, the accountant, she works with illicit people and dangerous people, et cetera, et cetera. And all that could have been good. There was also an interesting take on the nature versus nurture argument and how to raise people, certain people in this world, et cetera, et cetera. It had ideas behind it. It's not like it's a totally dumb movie or anything, but I feel like they didn't work everything through all the way. Like, it's just a little, it's undercooked, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. I, you know, one actor that was in that that particular film, I liked this guy. He was in Whiplash. In The Accountant, he played the, you know, the agent who became head of the department.
The older bald fella.
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Yes. J.K. Simmons is fantastic. He's been kicking around for a while, too. If you look at his IMDb, or if you just watch movies from the late 80s through the 90s, he'll pop up every now and then. You're like, oh, J.K. Simmons. He's been around. He was in his biggest break up until Whiplash was were the Spider-Man movies, when he was J. Jonah Jameson. But they he had a wig on in that movie and a mustache, so it's like, but if you look at him, it's like, oh, that guy. And then Juno gave him a little bit of a pop as the father in that movie. But Whiplash definitely gave him more of a notoriety, more of a platform for people, which is cool. And he's going to be in the next Justice League movie. He's playing Commissioner Gordon, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He'd be a good commissioner. He'd be good at that.
Yeah, sure. He's the right age. He's fit. You know, he's got the whole way he speaks, certain the commanding thing about him that worked in Whiplash. Yeah, it'll work.
Hey, before I let you go, there's one movie that I'm still trying to keep tabs on. I'm not sure if it's been started yet or if it's ever going to get off the ground. Of course, I'm talking about the Freddie Mercury movie.
The Freddie Mercury movie.
What have you heard about it?
Stalling out. It keeps stalling out. For a while, Sacha Baron Cohen was going to do it, but it looks like he may have aged out of that because I think he's in his maybe mid-40s by now, early 40s. Right. And he's been trying to make it since he was like 35. They did, I think, recently sign on someone else or approach someone else to do one. For whatever reason, it's been tough. It's been one of those ones that's like him, Tupac. They still haven't done a Michael Jackson one. There's so many artists that they're trying to make biopics for, and they just can't. It's a tough nut to crack, the biopic, you know?
Yeah, but it can't be for lack of producers, because you know the soundtrack is going to sell darn well. You know what I mean? It's already built in profit right there. But it seems like, you know, there's Seth Rogen could get a movie out the door like every 6 months, but they can't finish this Freddie Mercury movie.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you give Seth Rogen like $20 million and then let him make a Freddie Mercury comedy, it'll come out. That movie will get made. You know why? Because Seth Rogen can make relatively low-budget movies, and they make money.
Yeah.
That's why. He's a known commodity in Hollywood. If he wanted to make a Freddie Mercury movie, it'd get made. That's how that Green Lantern movie got made, because he wanted it to get made. And oof, that was not a good idea.
No, not at all.
But yeah, you know, it's one of those ones. But then it's also, you don't want them to rush it out. You would like them to do justice to the legacy that is Freddie Mercury. And then also, when you mentioned the music, the rights to the music, you think like, oh, bingo, bango, come on, it's going to make you a ton of money. But now you're dealing with a ton of money, and who has the rights to that music? So those people are going to be like, they may be extra protective of the rights and how the music is used. You only get one shot to use it in a biopic. You're going to give it to some hack who's going to make a terrible movie and then bomb your soundtrack, you know?
Right.
A lot of decisions when you're dealing with an entity that big, that awesome, that is Queen, you know? Because Queen is amazing.
Duly noted. Duly noted.
Noted. On the record.
I want to thank you so much for being on the program, Chris. Let folks know how they can find out about your indisputable awesome podcast.
Oh, I appreciate that. Cinema Crest Meso can be heard on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or my website, which is chriscrespo.com. Again, the name of the show is Cinema Crest Meso. And, yeah, hit me up on Twitter if you want, at I am Chris Crespo. Tweet me, and I'll tweet you back.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Bert.
Oh, actually, next week we're off. We're off. They're going to have a... this extra long sports program, so we'll see you the week after.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care. We're going to carry on, folks, with a little bit of music from Drew DiCamello out of New York City, holed up in his third-floor studio off of Vernon Boulevard. It's called Shine.